Okay. Babylon is falling down. Okay. Coming to an end. Yeah. Last one standing. Let's go.
Feel the curtains closing, yeah. My eyes shut, time's up. I reached the point of time where I made my mind up, yeah. I threw away my clothes because I ran out of luck a long time ago. Now I'm on my own trying to find my throne. I'm in the zone and it's best to stay alone. And if you shiver through your bones, you better pick up your phone, yeah. If your friends turn their back and give you the dial tone, just take advice from Erica and call Tyrone. Cause Hen ain't gonna be there, really? It ain't cause I'm scared, never. It's cause the end is there, so I'm skipping out of here. So y'all can keep on stressing and growing gray hair. I'm marching on to my blessing, I hope you got it clear. I'm headed through the woods like little Red Riding Hood. And I ain't scared of the big bad wolf, I wish he would approach me in the wilderness, see what she could. Just put an end to the wicked, it's time for the good. You gotta stay strong, endure to the end. You already know, ride this thing out. Talk to him, Uriah.
Yeah, I got him. Messenger, just spreading the word. You don't like it? That's cool. But if you do, here we go, here we go. Another one of them episodes like a minister, phantom sneaks in. There's a disturbance in the force. Can I take any more? Never know. Let the message stay on course. Okay. You want me to deviate? I want you to get it straight. What? I'm not one to hesitate. I play it to checkmate. Okay. Go ahead and draw your sword. Yeah. What you keep on talking for? Babble on, Babylon. I see what you really on. Got a couple guns, a couple bombs, got a couple spies, a couple lies. So yeah, it's no surprise when you raid my house. But the only thing you find staring is a mouse. I'll be headed out the back. Let everything intact. Go ahead and check it. Aha! The wilderness on my heart.
Okay.
So I stay set up.
Yeah.
I care less how you feel.
Nope.
I know the real deal.
Yep.
What my father says, it will come to pass.
Yeah. I'm just a messenger.
What?
Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. It's about to be the end.
It's over.
Yeah.
What?
Felt like I'm losing my people.
It's all good.
I gained a brother.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really feel.
I feel it too.
Yeah, I really feel.
I feel it too.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies. I am your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus. Today is August 27th, 2011. First of all, I want to thank everybody for coming to another Hebrew Council meeting. This is the third installment of this broadcast. The agenda today, I actually wasn't able to send an email, but for the agenda, we're going to speak about an open talk on Libya, warning signs, and discussion about the Wailing Wall. We found some things. If there's time, we're going to discuss that. But we're going to wait until people actually start getting here before we start playing some of the audio files that I have set up. Right now, we're going to make sure that I'm going to make sure that the mics are open for the different callers. And then we're going to open up in a word of prayer. But today's broadcast is going to be pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Because we're going to have a couple things, new information that I'm going to share with the people today, if time permits. And let me open up some lines. Brother D, is that you?
Shalom, brother. Yeah, it's me. How you doing today? Shalom.
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing good.
Good.
Happy Shabbat.
Happy Shabbat to you and everybody else out there too.
Nice, nice, my brother. Is that that hurricane? Is that gonna affect you at all? Is hurricane coming?
No, I didn't get any of that. Hit North Carolina first, so we didn't get anything.
Boy. Okay, because when you look at that map, boy, it looks like it's like the whole side.
Like it was gonna hit the whole southeast, right?
Yeah, everything, man. I was like, man.
Uh huh. Yeah, it didn't. It went to North Carolina first. Now it's moving up. Like it's going to Virginia. It's heading to Virginia Beach right now.
Okay. It is like about, they said it's like about 300,000 people evacuating from New York.
Yes, they're going to get hit hard.
Yeah, that's supposedly. Crazy. Okay, now I think for the chat, I think you should open it because I tried to open it and then it said I was logged out. So I think
okay.
I think you should have that. See if that worked for you.
Hold on one sec.
Okay, and let me open up the rest.
Shalom, my brothers.
Shalom, this is 209-922.
Yeah, it's Aminadab here.
Hey, Aminadab.
Shalom,
how you doing?
Aminadab.
All right, shalom, my brothers. Hey, I just talked to Jamil.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a little while ago on the phone. And he said that if he doesn't show up, then he's having some serious difficulties dealing with this hurricane stuff over in his area.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm surprised if he can even get in, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay.
Keep him and his family in our prayers, and everyone else over there.
Yeah, we're definitely going to pray for him, brother.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me open up 708-865.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
This is Brother Keith.
Hey, Brother Keith. Welcome, my brother.
Good to be back. Good to hear you.
Yeah.
Welcome back, brother.
Yeah, I've been having trouble getting access to the computer, on the Shabbat, but been trying to follow you guys, and you've been doing a great show. I like what's
been
going on.
Thank you. It's going to be greater now that you're here.
Yeah.
Send some prayers out to the rest of the family.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. Okay, 832. 896.
Yes.
Is Sister Dorothy?
Sister Deborah.
I'm sorry, Sister Deborah. Sorry about that. Hey, Sister Deborah.
Hi.
Shalom, sister.
Shalom, sister.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay, we're I think it's going to be a little it's going to be a little slow, this one. I didn't actually send out a reminder email this time because I wasn't sure about the whole hurricane and everything else and if people are going to get connected. So we're we're just going to have a nice Shabbat. Going to be, but it's going to be a lot of information here. Okay. But before we start, I want to open up in a word of prayer to make sure that everything goes over pretty well. But I like to make an announcement, but it's a little bit sad, and I want people to do something this week, and that's Sister Deborah just found out some serious news this week, and she got diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay, so what we need to do is we really need to pray for this sister. And ask the Most High to give her the strength to fight, heal this cancer, and give her the information and knowledge she needs to fight it correctly. So we have to keep her in our prayers. Okay, guys?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you're talking about, Sister who?
Sister Deborah.
Sister Deborah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me.
Yes,
I'm gonna say a prayer right now, and then we can start the Shabbat. Okay. I mean the council meeting. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name, O Father, I pray that you bless this sister. I pray that you give her the power and the will to fight. I pray that you heal this disease, oh Father. I pray that you go in there and give her the knowledge that she needs to battle this, oh Father. Heavenly Father, we pray that all week that we have the strength and reminded that we pray for this sister to give her strength. I pray this name, Yahushua's precious name. And Father, we ask that you continue to bless this Shabbat. We pray that you continue to give us understanding, open up our minds, and we pray that you continue to guide us, oh Father. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to your children. In the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 Does
anybody have anything else to say before we get started?
No, bub.
Okay.
One little thing on my mind. What stage are the Flyers in? I don't think I'm up to date on it. Has everybody seen them or approved of them or whatever?
Well, what's going on now, brother? Hello?
It is what they're dealing with that, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, we're supposed to put them on the web, and then people are supposed to just print them out.
Right, okay.
We can just do PDF files now. And I haven't been able to do that yet because I'm trying to build this new website with Drupal where everybody can get access and everything. So I kind of I kind of been neglecting the Hebrews Wake Up .com and the Hebrew Israelites .eu site. So I've been neglecting that for a little bit. But the Flyers are coming, brother.
Oh, okay. They're
ready.
Huh?
Yeah, they're ready. We just have to I'd have to put a link to it. I think you might have the link though. So if Sister Leah calls in later, we'll see if she can if she has that. Hey, Brother D?
Yes.
I think you start the chat, my brother. See if you can launch it.
It's already open, man.
Oh, it is? I can't even see it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on. It's already on.
No.
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I can't even see it.
Brother Dowie, did the link for the Flyers, did that come through email?
Yeah, I think it did, but I think I have to send it.
Okay.
I have to send it. It should be in email. It should be in the archive, but I just have to make sure.
Okay. I wanted to take a look at it.
Okay, hopefully Sister Leah will call in later. Yeah, because I can't see the chat at all. Anyway, well, let me get started. I've been wasting enough time. But one thing I want to do before we get started is the song that we heard, and I want to give a lot of props to these brothers. It was Uriah and Hen, and this song was entitled Revelations, and I think it came out a few years ago. But these brothers, you know, they're doing some serious Hebrew music, and if y'all know of like HebrewIsraelites.org,
mm-hmm.
those are one of the brothers that I first, those are the brothers that I first when I first was coming into this understanding, I was listening to them a lot, you know, mm-hmm. and then I found the music on the site, so we give those brothers a lot of props for a lot of the work that they're doing. So I just want to make sure I do that real quick. Okay, now, what I have on the agenda today is talking about Libya, okay? Now, the reason why we're discussing this is because it affects us. Is that a... Hello?
Black, is you breaking up or blinking out?
No, I was getting a lot of feedback from somewhere. So what I was saying is that with Libya, all right, what I did was I actually created, downloaded a few files, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have the audio version of these files. And what I want people to do is I want people to listen to the file, okay? And after we listen to them, I'm going to explain why I'm playing it. Because this is going to explain a lot about the usurpers and their characteristics and what we have to look forward to and why they did what they did. And you'll get the picture after I play it. So I'm going to play the first one. All right. Let me find it here. The first one is going to be Farrakhan. All right. And Farrakhan is going to speak about the Libyan crisis. And it's like 3 minutes and 49 seconds long. And then after he speaks, then I'm going to make a comment. And then we'll play the next one. And then I'll tell you my point on playing this afterwards. All right, here goes the first file.
Listen to this. Money from Libya's oil revenue is deposited into the bank account of every Libyan. Women have full access to education, employment, and he has enabled women to serve in the armed forces. This is most important. Gaddafi was the first and only leader in the Arab world to formally apologize for the Arab role in the trade in captured Africans. Gaddafi acknowledged that the black Africans were the true owners of Libya and proclaimed in his green book, "The black race shall prevail throughout the world." Pereira writes, "Imperialists fear a united Africa which would completely alter the balance of power globally. The well-documented fact is that if Africa stopped the flow of all resources and raw materials to the Western nations for just 1 week, the United States and Europe would grind to a halt. Nelson Mandela, the one whom you claim you love, called Muammar Gaddafi one of the 20th century's greatest freedom fighters, and insisted the eventual collapse of the apartheid system owed much to Gaddafi and Libyan support. With no justification, real justification, you put Libya under sanctions for 10 years. He couldn't buy this or that from this country or that, so he was forced to turn inward. And under sanctions, he has produced a country in which everything in it is paid for. It has no debt. Then the ultimate crime of Muammar Gaddafi was to tie the Libyan dinar to gold. Even more than Russia, China is the only one that has more gold than Libya, according to what we have read. The gold that Libya amassed shows that her country has been based on solid economic principles. But America, Europe, look at you. America is now drowning in $62 trillion of debt if you include Social Security, Medicare, and other entitlements. Well, now, media, what is your responsibility? If I know this, if others know this, if men like Wesley Clark, Attorney General, and Sister Dorothy McKinney, and others speak out, if the Congress voted against giving this government more money to continue this wicked plot against Libya and the Libyan people, whether they're in Benghazi or in Tripoli, I am telling my brothers in Benghazi that the Western world does not intend to give you justice. They will use you, and in the end, they will suck your blood. They have gathered like vultures, and they'll pick your blood as soon as they finish picking his. Well, media, if you know this, why don't the American people know this? It's because our media is controlled. Management of the news to support policies that are wicked.
Okay. Now, everybody knows pretty much that would be Farrakhan's stance on it. And he's right, 100%. Okay. Does anybody have any comments on that before I play the next audio file?
I mean, it's interesting to, actually hear him saying something outside of, what the general media's stance is in terms of, how we should look at Muammar Gaddafi, because they're not giving you a balanced view of, what he's actually done, because you never hear that side of it. I mean, it's interesting, the things that he's actually done for the country, I mean, which would... if you look at it, he would be considered a great man.
Yeah.
If it was, if he was a European, so to speak.
Yes.
The things he's accomplished. And, just the way he's handled, period. Being in power that long, that's unheard of, in the modern times. So, like I said, it's interesting to hear that side of it. I've heard that, but... interesting to hear that side of it.
Yeah, and one thing we got to say about Farrakhan, I have my criticism of him because of the comforter and the fact that he believes that Elijah Muhammad is the Messiah, all that stuff. But put that stuff aside, he's always been speaking for our people. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that he's sticking by his friend. And I really respect that, because now's the time where you know if your friendship matters. They're actually trying to kill this man. He's public enemy number one of the world, and yet Farrakhan is sticking by him. So no matter what you think about this brother, you got to respect him for that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to respect him for that. And I do. I really respect him for that. And one thing that I noticed in this broadcast that he was saying, he was talking about how Gaddafi built up how Gaddafi was working with the European Union. See, he was actually taking the European Union to the level in which the African Union. He was taking the African Union to a level where the Europeans did not want him to take it, He was actually started to take his gold and the dinar. He said he was going to take his Libyan dollar and pin it towards the gold and have all the African countries do it towards gold and then create an alternative currency to compete. And when you start to really look into why they really attacked Libya, it was to continue to suppress our people. If you really look at it, and now... the thing about it is, when you listen to Gaddafi speak, when you listen to Farrakhan talk, you know who actually says the same exact thing is somebody on the opposite side, and that's Alex Jones. Okay? Now, I'm going to play a clip from Alex Jones. Therefore, you can see that you have two people that are agreeing on something. All right? Now, I'm going to play this other clip. Now, listen to this one. All right? And then we'll talk about this. All right, and it's right here. Hold on. All right, here it goes.
That they launched that attack 6 months ago. That was in Reuters this morning. That 6 months ago, the West began aiding rebels. The rebels hadn't even attacked yet 6 months ago. They trained them. It turns out NATO a year ago did drills of bombing different cities. The West went in, funded violent terrorist al-Qaeda groups to attack Libya and to take the country. And they've shipped arms into them from the beginning, from before the start of conflict, and now it is admitted in Reuters. I was reading today, and there it was. In Reuters, it said the six-month campaign and that they'd been aiding them from the beginning. For months and months, they denied this, even though it leaked out in the foreign press. They just lie and lie and lie. And then these rebel commanders are in the news shooting their mouths off about Yes, I have killed Americans in Iraq, and I will kill more again. But first, I will kill Gaddafi. What? I mean, I'm living in the Twilight Zone here. And so Gaddafi, 42 years in power, is now saying that he's going to fight on till the end. He will either die as a martyr or be victorious against the dogs and devils, to quote him, that have taken over, quote, his country. And the issue is he was clearly a benevolent dictator. I don't like dictators. I don't like centralized systems. But every once in a while you get a guy who wants to build up the country and build up the continent, and most of the money actually was spent on the people, and the bureaucracy was very, very small, and the women got tuition to go to college, and everybody got thousands of dollars of stipend every year, and automobiles and houses and apartment buildings built everywhere. And the globalists looked at that and they said, this ain't happening. Especially when Gaddafi went to the rest of Africa and said, let's make our own currency, let's create our own credit-backed currency, really the American system. And the bankers said, uh-uh. And Gaddafi even tried to invest with the globalists. He tried to make deals with them 7 years ago. And they went in and hired al-Qaeda to attack, called them rebels, called them protesters, and have now taken Tripoli. And Gaddafi's hiding in his underground labyrinth that he's built in 40-plus years of knowing that this time was coming. And the civil war is now beginning. And he's called on the different tribes that are loyal to him to fight incessantly. And if you study the fascists when they went into Libya, out of Italy, under the leader of Italy at the time, the dictator Benito Mussolini, El Duce, or whatever you call him, they fought him for a decade. And if you look at the monarch the British installed, constant fighting. So you were told this was being done for humanitarian reasons. That country is now going to descend back into the sand from which it came. And good old boys seem to think that they get ahead by going, glass parking lot them. Glass parking lot them. They're just people like us that want a future. And this does not send a very good message to the world that Gaddafi tried to, quote, work with the West and got double-crossed. And now they're going to put Sharia law in. That was reported yesterday. So the women that thought they were going to run around and drive cars and be doctors, you are going home and you're going to put a bag over your head. And that's the end of that. And that's victory, because they do not want, the establishment does not want the Middle East and North Africa or any other country for that matter or region to rise up, to build itself up. And they do not want countries that are upwardly mobile. And so they have been bombed into the Stone Age, and they will be kept there. And the more people get killed, the better for the globalists. They could care less about U.S. troops or mercenaries that die, and they sure could care less about the Libyan people. And so this is a huge humanitarian bloodbath in the name of peace by our peace laureate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, notice how he said the peace laureate. You know why he said that, right?
Obama.
Yep. Yep, because Obama got the peace prize, and yet this man has done the opposite of peace. You know, starting wars, continue the wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan. You know, we don't hear nothing about Iraq. They just destroyed Iraq. I mean, it's done. And now Libya. And remember what they said. They said this started because of some protesters. Okay. Now, they're like, we need to protect the protesters. So that's why we're going after Gaddafi. And then
I was going to say, before you got too far, you said we don't even talk about, you know, Iraq anymore.
No, they don't talk about it.
It's like once you blow them into oblivion, then people stop paying attention.
Yes.
So you can do whatever you want to.
Yep.
What they're doing is erasing
opposition, so they have access to all these places.
Yep.
And you're not paying attention anymore. You know, we'll tell you what to pay attention to. Because
yep.
once, you know, we, you know, do what we do in Libya, then we'll move on to something else. And, oh, whatever happened to Libya? You know, whatever happened to Iraq?
They're going to Syria now.
Right, right.
We see them pumping that up. Yeah, so, so agree 100%, brother. Thank you for adding that because, I mean, it's like we need to really see what's actually happening here, and this is illegal. I mean, it's like having a bully, and this is like a bully, man. You have NATO. NATO's not even supposed to be in Libya. I thought this was like, you know, the North American Treaty or something like that. You know, they're supposed to be Northern Alliance or something. They're supposed to protect, you know, the regions that are above Turkey, but yet everybody's going to Libya. And what's the first thing they do? The opposition leader goes to France to make a deal with him to give the oil. I mean, come on now. All right. Now, the real tragedy in this, y'all, is what people don't really see is this. Africa, okay, has been going through hell ever since, you know, the slave trade. All right. And then after the slave trade, we had the colonialization. Now they said that they wanted to free everybody from colonialization, and this was supposed to be after the United Nations came in, but then the United Nations implemented the IMF and put everybody in debt, and now the resources are being distributed throughout the northern European countries, right? Now, here's the problem. We always hear these people on these posts and, you know, that all these like little racist that say how Africans can never, you know, are stupid or how we're, we just don't want to, you know, how we're just ignorant and we can't control ourselves and we're criminal, all this stupidness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they never admit that it was colonialization and the continuance of colonialization that is keeping us down. Now, all of a sudden we have somebody like Gaddafi come in and What did Farrakhan say and what did Alex Jones say? All right, now these two people are agreeing with what I'm saying, is that Africa, Libya, because they said we are not going to let him trade with us, they put an embargo on him, he had to go within. So what did he do? He started trading with the countries around him, all of the countries around Africa, right? All the countries that were hated by the northern, the Europeans. So what did he do? He started to build a connection. He said, let's unify together. We don't even need Europe. We can do this on our own, right? Now, what would happen? Africa would start to be lifted up. Then they wouldn't have to, like, run out of the country anymore because now we have them getting educated like Libya. Libya was so successful. They said, we don't need Europe. They looked within themselves. They had the best education for themselves. They had housing. I mean, you heard it. Everybody knows it was wonderful for them. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, I didn't live there, but you know what I'm saying. It's better than it is now. I mean, now they have nothing. I mean, now it's like everybody's dying in the streets, starving. There's no water. The infrastructure's blown up. How is this going to help them? How is this better? How is this? I mean, if he was shooting some protesters, that is nothing compared to what they have done to the country. I mean, this is ridiculous now. But anyway, the point I'm making is that...
Where did the wealth go?
Where did what?
Where did the wealth go?
Oh, man. You know what happened?
You know what I mean? Because he's extremely wealthy.
Extremely.
Where did that go?
They took it. First of all, they freezed all his assets. And then they went in there and they took all of it. He had like 144 tons of gold. I heard that they went in there to loot his gold. They went in there to take his gold. I mean, that's just... And they're talking about crime? These people have murdered and stole. And no one can do anything about it because they own the UN, man. This is crazy. But to finish my point, the point I was going to make is that now we're talking about the immigration problem, about people complain about how, you know, Mexico goes to the U.S. And now they complain about how all the people within Africa are flooding to the European countries, right? Now, we just had this incident with this guy that killed all these people in Norway, okay? And he killed people in Norway because he was angry at the immigration, right? He didn't like the fact that all these foreigners were immigrating into his country. Okay? So this guy in Norway is pissed off about immigration, but yet we have Gaddafi that's going to fix the problem of immigration by empowering the people within that hemisphere. If those people in the hemisphere are empowered and can control their own resources, then they don't need to immigrate because they are being able to take care of their own country, like Libya as an example. But what is it, what does the North do? They say, no, we don't want Gaddafi to fix this problem. We'd rather bomb the hell out of them, make Africa continue to be basically dependent on us. Therefore, what happens? The immigration problem starts again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they actually created the problem. But then they complain. What are they complaining about?
Mm.
Anybody got any comments on that? So I got another clip.
I'm all right, bro.
All right. I'm going to play another clip. And this is the last one. Now, this clip, okay, this is going to finish it off. This is from CNN. All right?
Okay.
Now, this is CNN, their assessment on, they admit about Gaddafi and they admit about when Farrakhan and Alex Jones and everything, they admit this, but look at how they spin on it, all right? Now we're going to play it. Here it goes.
In 2008, he made the continent's traditional leaders crown him King of Kings. A year later, heads of state elected him chair of the African Union. Muammar Gaddafi's ultimate dream, a United States of Africa, with one currency, one army, and of course, one King of Kings. Analysts say he greased enough palms with his country's oil wealth to elevate his status on the continent. But there was always the dark side.
Supporting rebel groups in Liberia, in Sierra Leone, in Mali. And I think secretly, even though leaders have taken his money in Africa, I think a lot of people will be quietly relieved that he's gone.
From warlords to icons of peace, Gaddafi wanted them all to adore him. The paradox of Muammar Gaddafi can perhaps best be illustrated by his relationship with Nelson Mandela, a saintly figure that refused to turn his back on Gaddafi because of his support of the anti-apartheid struggle here in South Africa, affectionately calling him the brother leader. More recently, the brother leader has gained more favor by investing heavily in Africa. From hotels to diamonds, Libya has investments in more than 20 countries on the continent. Last year, Gaddafi pledged to pump $97 billion into Africa to, quote, free it from Western influence. His investments, pledges, and massive contributions to the AU now hang in the balance.
This policy has always been very unpopular among ordinary Libyans. The fact that they felt that he should be spending money more at home rather than using the oil wealth abroad. So I think you're going to see a shift and more of a focus on domestic issues.
In the end, the peasant that so wanted to be king ended up an emperor with no clothes. Ngepile Mabuse, CNN, Johannesburg.
Mm.
Yep, that's from Johannesburg,
ben,
South Africa.
Ben.
That's just wrong, y'all. That's so wrong. I mean, it's like slap him in the face, you know, steal his country, and then dog him out. I mean, they hated Gaddafi with a passion. They really hated this guy. And it's like, for years, though, when I was growing up in the 80s and stuff, I thought Gaddafi was a monster. I know who he was, you know, because that's what they told me. He was some terrorist. You know, and now that we know about false flag terror, how many of those terrorist attacks were they really Gaddafi, or was it for something else? Because remember, after he allegedly bombed the nightclub, right? What happened? Then they went to this secret mission to kill Gaddafi, and they end up killing his grandchild. So it's like, well, we had to kill Gaddafi because of, you know, what he did in London. But now that we know about 9/11. False flag attack and all these other ones that we're finding out about, you know, who's to say that he actually did all the things that they said he did, you know?
I guess the sad part is that people will believe it, though.
Yeah, of course.
We are so asleep that, you know, we're not going to take the time to try to figure that out. We don't have, and then we don't have the time, so we're just going to listen to the news and, you know, let them process it for us, and this is what we should think about this, you know. So that's the sad part. Because they can say whatever they want to about anybody, but, you know, it's for us to try to pursue, you know, the truth. But it's like, okay, well, CNN said it, so that's sad. We're asleep like that.
Yep. Yep. It's, you know, it's, anyway, you know what? You know, it's like one of those things where you just get frustrated and you just hope that justice will be served one day, you know? And it's like in Revelations, you know, Revelations, they talk about the beast and who can bring the beast down, who can fight against the beast, you know?
Exactly.
We're living it right now.
That's what we're talking about.
Yep. We're living it right now.
That's what we're talking about. Those, I mean, those are the attributes. I mean, the military power, I mean, the monetary power, the power of the media, you know, what can you do against them? You know, only
can't
the
do nothing.
Can prevail against them.
That's it.
And it's chosen.
I mean, come on. They don't even have to lie anymore. There's nobody to oppose them.
Mm-hmm.
And even we are scared to speak out against it. You know? And once they got
Yeshua says, we are supposed to be, you know, the light in this world because it's darkness. We're in darkness.
Exactly.
We're in darkness.
Exactly. You know, and if we're scared to speak out against it, what do the other people have? And then when they start doing this to us, well, they've been doing it to us, but when they really start just like going around our houses and just shooting us in the head and killing us dead, who's going to speak out? Nobody. We all we got. I tell you what, you better grow some cojones. Better grow some cojones quick.
Right about that.
Shoot, I know one thing.
Think,
go ahead, brother.
And I was going to say that I think that's what Jacob's trouble, you know, the tribulation is about. I mean, it's about pushing you against the wall because, you know, with us, you know, our heritage is being stiff-necked and rebellious. So we have to be pushed, you know, to the brink,
yeah,
you know, to call out to him. You know,
yes.
That's where we're going. We're going down that road. We're going down that road. It's getting darker and darker.
Darker and darker. Yeah, can someone show me that verse? I'm gonna read it real quick about the beast, and nobody can fight against him. It's in Revelation.
That should be Revelation 13.
Okay, let me pull that up. Because I think people need to really hear this to see where we are right now. Because if the United Nations, NATO, United States of America, Great Britain are attacking a country like Libya, and no one's even speaking out to protect these people, no one can, and then you have CNN actually making him look like a villain, and nobody's saying anything. And then next they're going for Syria and then Iran. I mean, come on, y'all. Who can fight against this beast? What's next? If they can do this to them, they're going to be like, oh, pff, it's fair game.
Hmm.
Okay, which part? It says, And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave him power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yah, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I think that's that pretty much says it all. But I wonder if we're heading towards there now.
Oh, well, y'all think we're on the wonder about it. We are.
Like you listen to certain things, and it's kind of like, you know, giving you a mental picture, you know, with things that are going on when he's saying, you know, blasphemies, you know, that those things, I mean, the CNN is saying, the media is saying, those are blasphemies, those are lies.
It's a lie.
You know,
man,
we can create whatever lies, and those are miracles because people believe it, you know, so it's a miracle, you know, you got to believe this. You know, it's just, it's incredible. It's incredible that those chapters just unfold so much, you know, as time moves on.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, yeah, I think most people are in shock, probably. That's why no one's really responding like they should. Or maybe people are responding, it's just the media is doing such a good job to stifle it, because there was some report on Russia Today, and he was out there talking about how he was threatened by the media. Because within the media, there was like not media, like, you know, Blackwater, I guess. And they were threatening the other media, saying, if you say something, we'll kill you. And I'm like, daggone. Did y'all, anybody hear about that? Well, it was like on Russia Today, this one guy. It was reporter. Russia Today. That show.
Okay, Russia Today. Okay.
Yeah. And this reporter was on there talking about how he was threatened by the media. And that, you know, if he were to say something, he'd be killed. I mean, this is mafia, brother.
Yeah.
Criminal, yeah, man. Yeah, it, to me, this is, I mean, look, I grew up in some pretty shady neighborhoods when I was younger, and I've been around some pretty shady people, and I know how it works when it comes to this kind of stuff, and this is what they do. They threaten, murder, kill. I ain't saying that I did that, or, you know, saying I wasn't that close to these people, but, you know, it's like, and within a neighborhood, you know who the pimp is, and you know, you know the drug dealers, you know the people that you don't mess with, but they're cool with you, but you know what I'm saying, so you pretty much understand the whole game. But this is it, man. This is the game they're playing. We are, the world now is being run by criminals.
Absolutely,
straight up,
bro.
You know, the media, I believe, controls things to a certain degree to, you know, to keep the market stable, too. Because if you have chaos and people are thinking, you know, uprising, you know, in a certain way, it affects the markets. And that's something that they try to meticulously control, because that's where, you know, that's where they're making their money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why certain stories are suppressed. You know, a lot of things are suppressed just to keep people stable to a certain degree.
Well, a lot of times, too, also, the media is used to cause diversion, the separation. I mean, you know, amongst the people also.
But also, Brother Dawi, they strive on chaos, though. That's how they make their money, brother. Because if there was stability, and okay, let's say, okay, now there's anarchy, right? But the anarchy usually is based on people that are having injustice done to them, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say down in South America, where Chiquita is like destroying Ecuador, right? Let's say the Ecuadorians start to rise up and say, we want our daggone bananas, we are tired of Chiquita, and they go crazy. Now, it destabilizes the banana market. So Chiquita must go down there and suppress them, because you know, those stocks are invested in mutual funds and, you know, they're on Wall Street. And so, therefore, if Ecuador starts to rise, it's going to affect the bottom line of these people on Wall Street. But the people in Ecuador, they're dying. You know what I'm saying? They need to live and have a life like everybody else in the world. So their protest and uprising is based on the injustice that was opposed to them. Now, if we shift over to Africa, it's the same thing. They control it all, and they're just so greedy. I mean, they can just give a little bit back, and people can have some kind of life. They just want to kill everybody.
Yeah, they're like their father.
Yeah, and we know who it is. It's the Amalekites.
Kites.
No mercy.
Oh man, they usurp and destroy and kill and murder. That's what they are. That's the characteristics, man.
Brother Dawee.
Yes.
Brother JoJo from Virginia.
Hey, Brother JoJo, how you doing, my brother? Welcome.
804.
Yes, peace. Shalom.
Peace, brother.
Hey, shalom, brother.
Yes, I just wanted to add on, right, to ask, you know, about the short list and the long list about these loose nukes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, they said the one that went off was the one that they found and took it underground and, let it go. That's why we had this shaking.
Are you serious? You said there was a nuke went off?
Yeah, see, it's a split in this country, and you got people running around here trying to find this shit for this. Excuse me, you know, trying to find this, and do like they did the first one, because if these people, you know, get away with this, it gonna be 12 metropolitan cities going up in flames. Atlanta, Chicago, D.C., San Diego, you know, the Hoover Dam, you know, and not to speak them, but all that water they done backed up in, them two rivers, the Mississippi and Missouri, you know, over 100,000 acres of flooded water that's sitting up there marinating on the surface. Why they going to do the same thing as, you know, let them go off, you know, where that fault line, they're going to shake that earth under the bottom while they're going to let that water go where they're holding up at Montana. And you got about three other big dams holding water. So when they let all this water go, you see what I'm saying?
Whoa.
You got about six things going on right now. And not to mention the black sand, you know, the biologicals. That's why they got the smokestacks up there. They're coming out. They're going to let it out through the smokestacks.
Brother JoJo?
Yes, sir.
Man, where can I find this? I got to read up on this, brother. I heard about
absolutely.
The loop. I be telling people, man, but they don't go to the daggone websites, man. You go to Dr. Bill Deagle, Neutral Medical. And you can go to Alexander Backman. He's an investigative journalist down in Mexico, but he's from over Europe somewhere. And see, he did a story about 8 months ago how they, China, they the one that financed, and that was their money that built that corridor, that superhighway.
Yeah, I know about that one. Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of building roads on the Mexican side and on the American side. See, the invasion will come through the corridor, and see, they don't gave China 50 acres in each metropolitan city here in the United States. So that's about 50 Walmarts in one. And they not immune to the laws here. They can grab American woman, and ain't nothing going to be saved.
Let me back you up on one.
Alexander Backman.
Can someone, are you in the chat?
No. My mind don't work that fast, bro. I'm just laughing. I'm just
laughing. Yeah, let it go.
And if
it,
brother,
it works fast, brother.
So.
You said
okay.
Alexander what?
Alexander.
Backman. D-A-C Backman. H or K M-A-N Backman. No, like
okay.
Back.
Backman. Okay, B-A-C-K-M-A-N. Alexander
okay.
Backman.
Yeah, and Bill Deagle. I like Bill Deagle. But see, but one thing I like about Bill Deagle, see, and this is probably how now all the most of these white folks, but they claim that it's real. You know what?
Yeah, annoying.
That's the only problem I have with him. He said he's from the tribe of Dan. You know, his bloodline is over there, on the Palestinians and all over there. You know.
Yeah, they just be lying. Be lying. Well, how do you spell Deagle? How do you spell Bill Deagle? Dr. Bill Deagle.
What that's D-E-A-G-L-E. Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. That's all over YouTube.
Yeah. I'm gonna look at this up this week.
Alexander Backman and Dr. Bill Deagle. It's all over the
Deagle,
place.
Yeah. Brilliant mind, you know. Scientific mind, you know. But that black saying, them biologicals, they're gonna be bad too. Then you got the radiation. These the same people, you know, they gave us the two world wars and the silver wall and everything.
Yep.
You know, and all them beckoning for power.
When we start digging, brother, we'll find that it leads all to the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Gotta dig.
But all this greater change is gonna be a big mess, though. And see, we just sitting around, waiting for these people to displace us. We about to do something right now. We talking all this foolish. We ain't got this and we ain't got that. We about to be trying to move somewhere, but. You can't live normal under radiation. They talk about if you've been toking, you got to get off the token.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know about that.
Yeah.
But see, this answers your question earlier.
How far are you here?
Brother Dawid, you know, what time we live in, you know. I mean, these are things that are setting up those scenarios, you know, Revelation. I mean, it's going to be large parts of our population going to be, you know, destroyed and not going to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, how, I mean, it's been foretold already.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're living it. I mean, what ain't nothing, we can't do nothing else but agree. What else is going on? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, people.
That's right.
We're living this right now. We're living through it. I mean, you can't deny it. Yeah. But let me see some. Now, does anybody have any more comments on Libya?
No.
Because this leads into what did you say, brother?
I had something. This brother here got my mind way different now. I was telling a man about President Obama actually running in the background of what's going on out there. I forgot what the comment I was going to make. It'll come back to me. Man, we're talking about snatching your mind away from something.
I agree, brother. It's like,
man,
wow.
He got me with that today. I got to get busy now on this.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
The thing is, what we do have is that comforter that gives us, leads us into all truth and to, you know, all understanding.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of, you know, where we're supposed to be, you know, where our mind is supposed to be, because, I mean, just the information that we, you know, are taking in and processing, I mean, it's a lot, but, you know, the comforter, like, just directs us, you know, be here, say this, do this, you know, we're obedient. like that. That's something that we do have. And we, you know, I mean, in all of this, we're in a good place because it strengthens us to know, I mean, if it's bad like this on one end and we know the enemy's there, we also know that the other is true, that the Most High is in the midst of all of this. And then we know who we are, you know, and that the time is coming that the Most High, you know, Yahushua, you know, is going to return, you know, in great glory, man. It's
I heard that, brother.
It's an exciting time, man.
It is. It is.
Absolutely.
And you know something?
I've been kind of getting back to, I mean, these past 2 weeks, I've been kind of getting back into the book of John. And that always gives me comfort because I kind of read it, and it's like he's actually talking. He's talking to the disciples, but he's also talking to us personally. And it's like having a personal conversation with him, and it puts everything in perspective, puts all of everything in perspective, who's who, you know, how we should look at things.
Yeah.
And, you know, let not your heart be troubled, you know, in the world it's going to be tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And, it, you know, like I said, it just says who he is, you know, his personality and the whole thing, you know, and gives me comfort.
You know something, Brother Dawid? Thank you so much for that. Because I've been feeling really, like, low this week. You know? And it's because when you see all this injustice going on and all these people dying and hurting, you just get angry. And then at the same time, you just feel defeated. You know? But you're right. All we need to do is go back to the Word, just read the Word, and we are uplifted by those that knew this was coming. And they wrote these words to us for this generation.
Sir.
You know what I'm saying? And we just have to really remember that. Yeah, I'm done. Okay, well, let me... the next topic that is on the agenda after Libya and it merges into is warning signs. Okay? What is warning signs? Two things. Warning signs and also preparedness. Okay? Because this hurricane that's coming to New York, they say that they have never evacuated the city like this. 300,000 people evacuated. And then we had that earthquake. You know, and brother said it was like one of those underground nukes that went off. I got to look into that. And I wouldn't doubt it. I don't doubt anything now. You know what I'm saying?
See, they trying to catch them. They trying to catch them. It's like a police force out there trying to catch these, trying to keep from these people doing this so they can set off martial law. If they set off these things, the country, as you know, the whole reality is going to be changed. All you'll be seeing is military.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I see that. You know something, Brother Joe?
You know, you got people trying to save this country, but you got these people, you know, that's in control. Same people you talking about, guy. We, you know, trying to take everything over. You know, they're fooling with liberty now. You know, it's the same people. Day after the United States, they said they're going to use the wealth of the United States to take over the world and save the United States for last, you know. You know, my granddad fought in World War II, and he learned something over there. And when he came back, he was saying the next conflict will be on the soil of America. They would try to take the United States during the Civil War. But the good forces of the United States saved some of it.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of it was destroyed. You know, they've been at the United States for a long time. That's why they went on and changed their mind about the United States and went to Russia with the Bolshevik thing. Then they took old China and thing, you know, it's the same people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you know, there's a the prophecy had to be fulfilled. right?
Yeah.
Because that was the whole deal about, you know, that's the reason why they weren't effective in the Civil War and all that other stuff, because the most, you know, the most important prophecy was the 400 years that we had to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all, you know, it's like the word says, it says you are going to be the signs and wonders to the world. And, you know, it's going to come to a time where people are going to look to what we're saying and say, are these people the ones that they say they are? And it's going to be proved soon, because when we have people like, you know, you said this Dr. Bill saying that he's of the tribe of Dan, and then we have like all these other, you know, Caucasian folks saying that they are of the seed of Jacob and Jews and stuff. And then people are going to turn to them and say, well, you know, what are you doing about all this? Or you know, they'll know that they're lying based on the fact that they have all the power to control everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're in the mess, because they won't let us minister to them, or they won't bow down to who's who. You know, just like them people that came out of the Grand Canyons, you know. You can go to Slow Walker 700, Visions of the Past, Brother Dawi and other brothers. I guarantee these pictures of some black people, they call them Indians. But see, you got these white people claim to be Indians. They doing the same thing of identity theft, you know. When they know they were black people already over here. You go to Slow Walker, and I'm telling you, they're going to knock your socks off. Because I always thought Indian people was what I see today. These people wow. here is the true Indians, and they look like us, and we look like them. Yeah. Yes. And see, and I believe these the same people that when they came out of Egypt, they stayed in the wilderness long enough to build them boats and come over here. And they also brought a little Egypt out there with them, because in the Grand Canyons, you got upright sphinx and mummified tombs back there in the writings on the wall. But these the people that came out of Egypt that went into the wilderness. That's the strong influence that Egypt had on everybody. But it was from the house of Israel, you know. And see, you got other places like in Arkansas. The footprint is all over this country of people. When they came from over the Nile Valley, over that way, they came over here. The bushes that, you know, done grew over a lot of them places. You know, I'm telling you the truth. White people know about it. They know about it.
Well,
our footprint is all over this country. We the real indigenous. We the real ones that supposed to be getting that indigenous funds and everything. But they getting it to the white with the casinos and everything. Stealing our identity again on that side. We all of them people. We all of them.
They sure is a lot of us with Indian blood. That's the doggone sure.
But hey, Brother Jamel,
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Were
you trying to say something before?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to talk about the earthquake that we had. If anyone realized, and I kind of – how's it going, Brother Joe?
It's 4500. Everything good here.
All right,
okay,
bro.
Thank you for that, Brother Joe.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you,
brother. I'm going to back up a little bit. Because if anyone noticed that when we had that earthquake, we felt that it happened down in Mechanics, Virginia, all right? And they felt it all the way down to, I believe, South Carolina. They felt it all the way up to New York, or a little bit past New York, okay? We had a 5.8 on the Richter scale. And this happened right after they took Tripoli. So I kind of understand, I feel where Joe is going. You know what I mean? And what he's saying. There's a lot of things that a lot of us don't know what's happening. Now all of a sudden, you know, we're bracing for this hurricane right now coming through. You know, and I mean, we know that there's HAARP programs. I'm not saying that this is HAARP. I have no idea. I'm not going to make that speculation. But we know that they do have HAARP programs. all right? And it's not just the United States. It's all different countries. Europe has it. Russia has it. China has it. You know what I mean? So there's other countries that have heart programs. Because this is amazing, really, when you really think about it. We just had an earthquake for the East Coast.
Yeah.
Very rare. All right?
Very rare.
I felt it. I was standing outside in front where my car is at. I'm in New Jersey. This happened in
Virginia.
In Virginia.
Yeah.
I sat there and I saw my car shake back and forth like someone was actually pushing my car.
Wow.
So this is how strong this earthquake was. Now all of a sudden, like I said, now we have Hurricane Irene coming up the coast. All right, and it's going to make landfall in four different places, destroying all these states coming up. Something's going on, bro. All within 1 week.
Man, it could be retribution, brother.
Back to back.
That was like,
I mean, that's
what I'm thinking,
earthquake,
bro. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
It's retribution for
the crimes that we have committed.
Yep.
Right? I don't think, it, and it may not just be just because of Libya, but definitely I can see how it's tied into Libya, because right after that, all this happening. I know a lot of times I don't follow Farrakhan. I do listen to some of the things that he says because the brother has information. He has very good information.
Yeah,
But he did say that certain things were going to happen. You know, if something happens to Gaddafi. And
he did talk about an earthquake, remember?
Yeah, he talked about it. And, you know, I've heard him talk on many different occasions about hurricanes coming into the United States for certain crimes that's committed. And this is happening in the past. This is when I honestly sit up here and I tell you that I'm amazed. I am like completely amazed. The earthquake was something that rarely happened.
Yeah,
you know what
really?
I mean? And it was a very strong earthquake. Yeah. A hurricane of this nature and of this size and its magnitude, all right, is not normal.
I mean,
this
you just think
happen.
Of a city like New York. I mean, you know it has
right.
never happened because of the skyscrapers, the way it's built. You know, it's not
right.
normal.
I know,
you totally destroyed.
I mean, can you imagine
right.
if it goes off? I mean, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, well, they're evacuating New York right now, a lot of parts of New York. And, you know, they're talking about there's going to be some major flooding happening. There's already been four deaths associated with this hurricane so far. When it hits, it's already actually, even though, and this is, and I just want to, you know, attest to how big this is. It's in North Carolina right now, okay, the eye. We already have rains up here in New York. I'm sorry, in New Jersey. And it's been raining nonstop for a while now because we have an outer band. So you're talking about hundreds of miles long and big this hurricane is. You know what I mean? And, this is just, I don't know, this is astounding to me. We're going to be hit, basically, we're going to be going through this for about a 24-hour time period.
Mm.
All right, high winds, rain, flooding. Possibly and most likely the loss of power. Like I said, New York is going to be devastated because, you know, they're right now, they're shutting down the mass transit. The only thing that you can do, they're telling people to get out. If you have to walk out, walk out. This is what they're telling people.
This is crazy,
they
bro.
Yeah, they know. And they know about Katrina. And I've already heard a couple of comparisons to New York City and what's going to happen to Katrina.
Whoa.
So this is serious. And they're talking about also how the subway systems are going to be completely flooded out.
Mm.
It's going to be a direct hit because it's coming off land and it's going back into land, off land again, and then back into land. And when it comes off of New Jersey, it's going to slam directly into New York City. And that's going to hit the water. Because New York City is an island. Remember
it ain't
that.
Slowing down?
Exactly.
It ain't slowing down, right?
Right.
Jamel.
Yeah, can you hear me?
It's not slow. Yeah, I hear you, brother. It's not slowing down at all?
It slowed down, but what happened was this. Because of the size, and this is what everyone is failing to realize, the fact is that the category systems 1, 2, and 3 no longer matter anymore because of the size of the storm. So now what happens is that we're going to all be hit with a category 1. But because of the rains that we're getting right now, all right, and how long we're going to be getting this rains, and especially in New Jersey, New York area. This is the rainiest month that there's ever been on record, August. But it's before the storm. So now the grounds are already saturated. So now you have a storm coming in. Like I said, it's already raining right now. All right, the water can't, I mean, the land can't take too much more water.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not going to actually, if New Jersey is not actually going to get hit with the eye of the storm until sometime tomorrow morning, it's raining nonstop now, all until tomorrow morning, and then we get hit. Now the ground is so soft that when the wind finally comes through, they're expecting a lot of trees falling over, power lines falling over, because there's a lot of water around us. They're expecting a lot of swells along the coastline. We're going to be at high tide exactly when the eye of the storm comes through. So, I mean, this is just an anomaly almost, because we're going to have high tide and we're going to have a full moon, which is even going to bring the tides even higher.
Yes.
You know, I've heard one of the managers. I'm sorry, one of the mayors of one of the towns in New Jersey. I believe it was in New Jersey. He said for everyone to leave, because they're talking about the little off the coast, like the beach islands or whatever. If you do not leave, and he told the people to take a 3x5 card, put your name, your next of kin, your social security number, put it in your left shoe and tie it tight. Because he's telling people that if you don't leave off of certain areas in New Jersey and all along the eastern coast line, if you do not leave, chances are you are going to die. You know what I mean? So, I mean, right now, I feel pretty confident and pretty safe because exactly where I'm located. Of course, we're going to have some flooding in the area. It's not going to be as bad. But there are some people who, you know, they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer way more than what we're going to go through. I might be without power for a few days or a week or so. That's not a big deal. These people are losing their homes. Some people are going to be losing their lives. Four people already lost theirs. So
you know what?
Yeah.
You know this, not to cut you off, but listening to this, this puts in my mind, this something like this, at a magnitude like this, it would be a perfect opportunity for Obama, like, to implement those congressional orders, like martial law and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. You know, and once that stuff starts jumping off,
mm-hmm.
Man, that's pretty scary. That's gonna upset a whole lot of.
But it's from top to bottom, though. I mean, we talk even the economy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like, you know, where do you stop? I mean, the whole thing is like.
Can I read something to y'all?
Sure.
Yep.
And this is gonna tie into it, all right? And it's gonna get back on the Libya thing, right? And I'm pretty sure y'all heard about this. And maybe. Okay, listen. It says Libyan rebels killing black Gaddafi supporters.
True.
Right. Now it says here. It says. A few minutes drive from the fire station, at least 15 bodies, most of them Gaddafi's black African supporters, lay rotting in the sun at a traffic junction outside Bab al-Aliziya, right? Complex. Several of the dead wore green pieces of clothes wrapped around their wrists to signify loyalty to the Gaddafi regime. The men, many have died during Tuesday's battle for Babi al-Zazaya, and several were wearing military fatigues, but not all of them, looking like ordinary battlefield deaths. Two dead men lay face down on the grass, their hands bound behind their backs with plastic cuffs. That means they were murdered, you know what I'm saying? Basically, they were murdered. The worst statement of Gaddafi's loyalists appeared to be reserved for anyone with black skin, whether they hailed from southern Libya or from other African countries. Darker-skinned prisoners were not getting the same level of medical care in a hospital in rebel-held Zawiya. As lighter-skinned Arab Libyans, Ithwal said, rebels say Gaddafi's employed gunmen from sub-Sahara Africa to shore up his army against his own people, and those fighters have illicitly insisted enmity from Libyans. But many of the detainees in Zawiya told Amnesty International that they were merely migrant workers taken at gunpoint from their homes, workplaces, and the streets on account of their skin color. Now, that's one thing that's not even talked about in the mainstream media.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and the hurricanes. Now, imagine, what if some of these people, what if, let's say that these are actual Hebrews that are being supported by Gaddafi, because, you know, Gaddafi was the one that, you know, as Farrakhan said, he was the first one to acknowledge and apologize for the slave trade.
Yeah.
And he was single-handedly trying to basically support Africa and bring Africa out of the dark ages and basically take the noose off of the neck that Europeans have put on us in Africa. And now we hear this report of these black Africans being basically genocided here in Libya just because they have black skin. Now, that's why that hurricane's coming.
Deep, brother. Deep. Wow.
It's disgusting. That's what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, disgusting. That's something I have to ponder.
Hey, Jamel, I didn't want to cut your flow, brother. I just wanted to pass that news story on to you. That's when the
I pretty much said what I had to say. You know what I mean? I think everyone has an idea. You know, like I said, this is just not normal. This is not normal. Yeah. You know, and like I said, all in 1 week.
Yes, it's unheard of, bro. I mean, it's unprecedented, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's retribution.
Yeah.
It's retribution. And one thing, though, too, to think about, you know what they're doing? Since they're actually clearing out New York, right, they can easily implement martial law. They can start rounding up FEMA camps now.
Well, we already know FEMA's already here. They're standing by right now.
Wow.
So,
well, if you got FEMA, you got military, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And since New York is the capital, that's pretty much the capital of America right there.
Capital of the world, man.
That,
yeah,
for
controls
real.
The economy and everything.
Yeah,
they don't have to let people back in.
Mm.
So they don't have to let them back in. Just shut it down.
Martial law.
Yeah, my family's actually preparing now. My brother-in-law, my sister, they're like trying to buy all some goods to make sure to get locked down. And they showed on the news all the shelves were bare. Nothing there, man.
Yeah, trust me. Trust me. I forgot my batteries. So I had to go back and look at some batteries. Batteries are gone. Shelves are cleared. You go, there's people put up signs talking about no more C&D batteries. You know what I mean? It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
And,
you know,
Jamel.
And if you didn't get,
No, keep going, because I want to say one thing when you finish.
Yeah, if you didn't get what you needed when you first heard, I'm telling you right now, you might as well forget it, hang it up. You ain't getting it. You know, so it's just crazy, like, just to see how quick and how easy it is, actually, if you sleep in, if you're too late to get your things, how much in trouble you'll be.
Yep.
How much we all actually depend on someone else in order to supply us with our needs. You know what I mean? And that's what I thought when I first walked through the store. And luckily, like I said, I got everything that I need. You know, I wound up finding the last one on the shelf, a little small handheld, almost like a little Walkman type of thing, so I could listen to a radio. in case my electricity goes because I forgot to get my batteries. But it was the last one on the shelf, and luckily I grabbed it. But, you know, during that time, I'm thinking, like, wow, you know, I depend just like everyone else on someone else to take care of me in order to make sure that everything is good, you know. And it shows also that at any given time, if somebody wants to throw the entire country or the towns you live into some sort of hysteria, all they gotta do is just stop bringing in the supplies. We'll all be lost.
Yep. And brother,
I think Hurricane Katrina kind of showed that, how that quickly disintegrated into chaos.
Chaos.
You know,
anarchy.
I mean, supposedly civilized people. You know, once you,
right,
you know, change a few things very quickly, it disintegrates into savagery.
But Dawid and Jamel.
Yeah.
Now we're on this. We're on this topic, and we got to really emphasize this right now. And I hope everybody out there are listening to me. If we do not prepare for what's coming, the shelves will be bare, and you will not be able to survive for more than a week or so. Whose phone is that?
That's me. I just hung it up.
Okay, listen, because this is important. Brother D and I were talking about this a little bit today, and this is the perfect example. We got a hurricane coming. You go to the store, and the shelves are bare. There's nothing there. If you weren't prepared for like 6 months or whatever for something to happen, you're done. Now, even this, it's like, okay, the hurricane's coming. You got 2 weeks. You prepare for 2 weeks, you could do it. Now, if you went out that day, you're done. You know, and the thing about it is the financial markets are collapsing, okay? They're talking about setting up martial law. They're talking about the dollar being devalued. I mean, think about it. Once the dollar is devalued, the dollar is not going to be, you know, revalued again. It's done. What are you going to do? You know, it's really time, and the window is closing, okay, for everybody here to exchange numbers, to talk to each other, build a network, and really, really get yourself set up to be prepared. Now, some people believe, they still have that Christian belief that all of a sudden, you know, we're going to get flying out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
It's not going to happen.
Look it. Here's a perfect example. Did the people in Libya fly out to meet the Messiah? Or did they die with plastic straps on their hands, shot in the back of the head? Okay? We got a whole country, y'all, a whole country that were doing good things. Libya was doing good things. They were giving money. They were trying to support people. He was supporting his country. He was doing good things to the world. He didn't get flown out of here. He got bombed into the Stone Age. Right? America ain't doing good things to the world. You think you're going to get flying out of here? Come on now. Anyway, we gotta get it together, y'all.
Gotta get together.
The window is closing.
Yes, sir.
Thing is, like, you know, I kind of wish I was back in the U.S. just to try to get something going seriously. Because over here, you know, I'm pretty much trying to prepare myself. But at the same time, there's not really that many people that I woke up out here. But in the U.S., you know, I can pretty much get some people together. I know I can motivate some people to get some stuff going if I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But here, it's really hard.
Oh, brother, where you at?
I'm in Sweden, man.
Sweden, okay. Last year I was in Luxor, and I won't coming back. But the situation I'm going through is my wife, you know. It's like I'm in a situation like that, you know, and his wife, you know. My granddad had the same type of wife, you know. And I know other great men, you know, that knew this thing, they had, you know, their wife was still in the world, you know, in denial, you know. So I'd be threatening her. I'm leaving.
Hey, I know the feeling, brother.
You know. But see, the safest place to be is, you know, somewhere where they ain't got them nuclear plants, you know. At least you'll have some kind of, you know, percentages of getting through this thing.
No, man, we got nuclear plants out here. They got a nuclear plant out here.
Now, I'm going to say this, man. It's like, you know, I was in a 20-year marriage. And, you know, we were, you know, going in different directions in terms of our, you know, spirituality. That is, I mean, that cannot be denied. That is such a blessing when a man and a woman can be on the same page as far as that.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes,
when
it
you
is.
They move and they understand and respect the Most High. I mean, that's a blessing because you're only gonna go so far, you know, if your household is, you know, divided. I mean, you crippled actually because you're actually dragging a body part, you know, that's not functioning. You know, you know, in that way. I mean, you're supposed to endure, but you know that's I'll just say it again. That's such a blessing when you can have a man and a woman on the same accord. You know.
Yep.
Well, you know, right now my dad is going through the same thing with my mom. And see, you know, from what I can tell, what it is, it's Christianity that's taught, especially black women, that black men don't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, and,
right.
The mistake that a lot of men make is that they give all the workings of the household over to the woman. And that's not how it should be. Because, see, my dad lets my mom pay all the bills, all that stuff. But, see, women just don't get this. You have to save something for that day that you may need it. You know, you don't spend everything. And, see, most women, they just think, well, you know, I might as well spend it now because if I don't, you know, I may not get to enjoy it or so. Well, you know, they just have this mentality, man. And that's my mom. And I keep telling my dad, I'm like, look, you need to take control. You need to stay, you know, because he's like, man, you just don't know how hard it is to deal with that woman. I said, look, it's up to you. It's your fault that it has gotten to this point. It's going to take you to stand up and make her realize that you are the head of the household. I mean, there's a hierarchy. It's Yahuwah, Yahushua, man, woman. And she has to understand that. But see, women are just, in Christianity, they've just been put out of place. So, yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. That's all you see on TV. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
And brother, the Christianity got us thinking that we're going to get flying out of here. You know, what is it, the tribulation?
Rapture?
Yeah, the rapture.
Yeah.
Right.
The rapture theory.
I mean,
you know what, though? No,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
No. Well, see, I saw this documentary on how the whole rapture theory came about, and I forgot the guy's name, but what he did, he created a Bible where he put like these notes, you know, where, you know, there's like a median there, and he put notes in there, and in there, that's where he wrote in there. This means, you know, where it talks about. I forgot where it was that he was calling a rapture, but he put a note in there saying this means rapture, or we're going to be taken out while the tribulation happens.
Don't forget that.
What's that?
And slavery too.
Slavery?
Yeah.
Slavery have a lot to do with it too.
Oh yeah, you mean as far as what?
Yeah.
Oh, you talking about in terms of the man and the woman that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh Definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. But the first thing, you know what? From what I can see, the first thing that every, especially Hebrews, need to do is completely drop Christianity. Because look, this is something I had to pose to my mom because we had been going through this whole, you know, a little bit of a battle, and I was trying to get her to see that I'm like, look, We're not Christians. You know, the apostles never called themselves Christians. The only people that called them Christians were the people in Antioch, okay? The reason they were in Antioch was because these people were pagans. So if they were pagans, that Christian means anointed one, or Christ means the anointed one, a good one, or something like that. That's what pagans use to call their deities or their high members of whatever religions they belong to. So the apostles never called themselves that because they didn't identify with that. And I mean, and that's what, you know, people call themselves Christians every day. I'm like, look, that is a pagan term. You're being you're calling yourself by a pagan name. You, I mean, get away from that. But man, that's a battle.
And see, I deal with this with my mom. You know, I talk to my mom all the time. But what it brings it down to too is that we have to come to this as children. And I say that as children, as students, and we remain students until the Most High comes here, meaning that we are that humble that we are constantly in a state of learning new information. But that Christian movement, I mean, it is from the past down, I've already arrived, already had this information. It's locked in, you know. I'm good. I don't need any new information. I'm not taking in any new information, and then I'm lifted up. At that point, you can't tell me anything. You know, what do you know? I'm in church every Sunday. You know, so it's a way that people arrive at a particular place, and they don't need new information. And see, what I loved about this brother, you know, Brother Dawid, I mean, when I first heard him, I'm like, this brother's bringing a lot of knowledge, but that spirit of being humble, that's going to always endure the Most High. That's going to, oh, I mean, come to it as a child.
Thank you, brother. And that's
understand new things and to be able to appreciate whoever. It could be the bum on the street. It could be, you know, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah,
and we constantly, and that's what sets us apart. That's what sets us apart. And you have to, and something I heard you all mention last week, I wasn't on here with you all, but that is so important. New wine into new wineskins.
Yep.
That's what that means.
Yep.
You
exactly.
Constantly,
exactly.
I mean, you have to have that type of mind, you know, that you can just receive new things. Because the Most High is giving us, I mean, information every day. You know?
Yeah.
But if you just stop, like, I don't need it, I already know, I'm saved, you know, saved and sanctified, I'm blessed, you know, you close up.
You know, that's the thing. That's what a lot of Christians, that's every Christian you talk to. I mean, I was talking to somebody just recently and just saying, look, I'm not trying to change your mind. All I'm trying to do is present something to you just for you to look at.
Yep.
And what I got back was, I believe what I believe, and that's just what you're not gonna, you know, I don't need to hear it because I believe what I believe, and all this, just because I told them that I'm not a Christian. I don't call myself a Christian. And see, Christians, I think this is the deal. I think they have been conditioned,
brainwashed,
to only accept any new information from the leader of their congregation or whoever heads the church up. That's the only place they're going to take any new information.
Exactly.
You know,
brother.
Anywhere else, you can forget about it. No, I don't want to hear that. My preacher didn't say it. Oh, no, I can't hear that.
Right. All right. You know what? You know, I'm kind of glad we kind of got on this topic, too, because actually I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And I started to realize that a lot of times, all right, when Yeshua, Jesus, whatever you want to call him, when he passed away, all right, before he passed away, they was actually trying to turn the house of God or the temple into a marketplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he passed away, he's gone. Do you think they still stopped turning the temple into the marketplace? Yeah, I think that a lot of organizations, you know, it's become a big market. It's all about money. It's about, and I'm not just talking about Christians. I'm talking about it all across the board. And that's why we have to get rid of religion. You know what I mean? Because now religion is the man's thing.
So whenever you're a part of a certain organization or some sort of fraternity, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You are actually separating yourself and it becomes tribalism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All is set up because of the market. You know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
with that in mind, we have to also, yeah, we have to also remember that even some of the Hebrew Israelite groups, all right, are marketplaces also.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
And it might hurt some people for me to say that, but it's the truth.
Hey, Brother D. Call, yeah. Hebrew Christian.
Yeah. Let's
see all it is.
What is Hebrew Christianity?
Hebrew Christianity.
It's like it's still when you're talking to brothers. I mean, when we say it, Hebrew Israelites, or you know, the seed of Yaakov. I mean, it's
right.
just a nationality. You know, who we came from. It's not. It's not anything else other than that.
No,
you know, from the get go. But it's like But it becomes something else though. It becomes
right,
like
exactly.
a way of being separate from everybody else and like that we know this or we know that. It becomes something else, but that's ultimately what it is. And then we have some responsibility, you know.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But what we have to start to understand is that it really has, the worship of our Creator doesn't have a name.
Right.
That's the way of our life.
Yes.
And this
yes.
is the point
right.
that I'm driving at. All right, because everybody's so worried and so focused on what this person's not doing. And this is a part of the fraternity. You have to understand. And understand exactly what I'm trying to deliver here. You know what I mean? Like, it's a part of a fraternity. So now, in the fraternity, everybody's talking about, well, the reason why, everybody has to convince themselves the reason why they need to stay in their fraternity. So everybody talks and focuses on everyone else. And talk about everybody else. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm not losing anybody, but
no,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel it, bro. I know what
you're
talking about.
So when that happens, we are no longer doing what we're supposed to be doing in the face of our God. So we're not living the life. We're not living the law. We're not living by the law. Because we're so focused on somebody else on negativity that it brings the negativity out of us. You know what I mean? So, with that in mind, you know, once we start getting to a point where we realize that we are who we are, and we have to understand that through bloodline, because certain people are coming through a certain bloodline, all right? But everybody needs to focus and keep focused, and I'm talking about even the Christians, I'm talking about the Muslims. They need to focus, everybody needs to focus on what they're supposed to do and not so much of what everybody else is not supposed to do. Because then we lose, and we wind up losing our vibrations also, because we're now have to come down on this level to fight these people. And I'm not saying that, you know, people shouldn't be made aware of certain things going on, but we have to be careful how we deliver. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, that's what I was trying to say.
I hear you, brother.
Hallelujah.
Are we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I just want to add something, brother.
Okay.
I was sitting back listening, and I know we talked earlier.
Yeah.
But after just observing and listening today.
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting excited again. You know, my energy level was down. But, you know, what we spoke about earlier, we didn't even bring this up. It just came out.
I know. And
this is exactly what we talked about.
The Nazarenes, the Christianity, remember, brother?
Everything we talked about, it came out today.
And doesn't it go into the Wailing Wall? Does it lead to the Wailing Wall?
Yes. And I just want to tell a brother, caller 804, Joseph. I've heard him on other shows, and people tend to, they want to silence that brother when he's bringing good information in, because he is serious about what he's talking about. And I just want him to know, you're welcome here, brother. We don't silence anybody here.
You're welcome.
I've seen hosts, they want to cut
brother.
You off, and
absolutely.
They don't want to let you talk, but. I've heard you before. I listen to you, brother. So you are welcome here. So
yeah, you're welcome, brother.
Okay, thank
definitely
you.
Welcome.
Thank you,
but let me get in here on this conversation real quick, because this is some juicy topics. Now, you know how brother you talk about the Christianity?
Yes.
We're doing. I'm actually doing research for another broadcast that I'm gonna do, and it's gonna be based on the Ebronites, the Wailing Wall, the Temple. I'm trying to put it together, but it's gonna be basically based around the Teacher of Righteousness and the Essence. It's gonna kind of tie more things together. A lot of stuff that we didn't know about. I mean, there's so much stuff that they have kept from us. I mean, it's crazy. And there's like a lot of pieces to this puzzle that are coming. Now, with this, what you're speaking about, but the Christianity, brother, you have like a lot of groups that were around prior to this thing called Christianity. I say thing called Christianity because it didn't become Christianity, like you said, because it was based on the pagans. But listen to this. Christianity, right, is Gentile Christian. I mean, I say Gentiles that actually came into this belief. That's what the Christianity is for. It was for the pagans that accepted the belief. Or, now I wouldn't even say accepted, the ones that got brought in. They were brought in for a reason, and that was for deception. Now, it was another group called the Nazarenes, okay? But the Nazarenes came from the Essence. And these groups, right? It led back to the Teacher of Righteousness. But now what happened was the Hebrews at the time, they believed in Yahushua, and they believed in and they understood the whole story or the whole prophecy. They seen it coming to fruition. So they were actually teaching not the Gentiles. They were teaching the other Hebrews that were in that area, because at this time, like everybody should know by now, the Jews were actually a mixture of the Edomites, the Greeks, all these people that converted into Judaism. These people were considered the Gentiles and those other pagans that were around that area. So when Yahushua came, he was speaking to the lost sheep, which was the tribes of Yaakov. All right. Now, the temples, the temples were taken over by the serpents, right? They were taken over by the ones that were Jews or were not. They were taken over by the ones that converted into Judaism, which you can't even convert into Judaism. It was forced. They had their penises cut, you know, the foreskin of the penis, the circumcision, so therefore they became Jews. But they were not of the seed of Yaakov. They took over, and what did they start doing? Money changing in the church and all this stuff, right? And you were right. They never left. When Yahushua was crucified, they were like, okay, now we can really go off. And then they really took over. And this is why the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. There were three different Hebrew sects that were battling at the time of Josephus. Three different Hebrew sects, all right? Why would all three of us fight each other? No, they were liars and deceivers against the true seed. Then when that was done with, they had another uprising in 135. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another story. You want to say something about that, Brother D?
Oh, I want you to go ahead with it, because, like I said, I started on that this week, and I'm just coming into the understanding of it. But it was some true deception going on back then. And we need to understand it today.
Okay, Okay, let me say this right now. We got like 11 minutes, and I'm just going to tell y'all something. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people know about this, but no one will ever tell you about it. Now, what happened was in 135 AD, okay, they had there was a revolt. Okay, it was called the Bar Kokhba. I'm probably saying it wrong because it's Ashkenazi tongue, the Ashkenazi Hebrew
right.
that they given us. So right. I ain't gonna be saying the stuff right. But anyway, it was Simon of Jerusalem. We'll just say Simon of Jerusalem. At this time, there was a revolt around 135 AD. Let's say it started at 132 and it lasted to 136, right? And what happened was, this Hebrew, I wouldn't call him Hebrew. I was trying to figure out if he was from the line of Yaakov or if he was one of those usurper Jews. And I believe he was like one of the usurpers because they don't actually give his genealogy. So that lets you know right there that he was a usurper. Now, what happened was he started this revolt, right? And when he revolted against an emperor named Hadrian, okay? Hadrian was an emperor. I'm trying to set this up. Hadrian was an emperor that lived at this time. And what he did was he promised the Jews at that time that he was going to rebuild Jerusalem. Okay? Now, what he did was he was going to rebuild Jerusalem because in 70 AD, what did they say? They said that Jerusalem was torn down. They said that it was so destroyed that you wouldn't even could tell anything was there. What that means is that the temple was destroyed to the ground. Everything around it was destroyed completely. Okay? So what happened? When Hadrian came in, he goes, I'm going to do a favor for the Jews. I'm going to rebuild this city for them. But he didn't do it. He fooled them. He actually rebuilt the city for himself. This angered them, so they started a revolt. The war lasted about 3 years. So what happened? Now the city is even more destroyed. Okay? Yeah. But this is what he does. He bans anybody, any Jew from Israel forever. He bans circumcision. And then he takes the Syria, it calls Syrian Palestinians, and the Samaritans, and brings them into Jerusalem. But it's not called Jerusalem anymore. He renames the city Aliyah Capitolina. Now here's the kicker. What does he do? He takes the temple, right, the Temple Mount. We know the Temple Mount and the Hebrew Temple. Now understand, now this is gone now. It's totally wiped out, clean, done. No longer existing. So he rebuilds a temple of Jupiter. Okay? It's called the Temple of Jupiter. Now, this is common to the Romans because, of course, they thought that the god of God was Jupiter because this is the head god. It's like Zeus, right? But now what does this mean? This means that the temple that was on the temple, our temple, you know what I'm saying, that was built by Solomon, that was torn down, then built again, and then torn down, was now the Temple of Jupiter. Now, what does this mean? What this means is that Jerusalem was no longer Jerusalem at this time of Aliyah, at this time of King of the Emperor of Hadrian. This lasted for over 200 years because then Constantine came in, tore down the temple, and called it after his wife Helena. All right. Now we have this wall that is standing up, but the wall is actually the remnants of the temple of Jupiter, not the remnants of the temple of Yahuwah. Okay. So when these people are over there wailing on the wall, saying that this is the wall of the temple, it's not even the temple, bro. Not even the temple wall. It is actually the temple of Jupiter. And now we have people that are going, all these insane Christians going there, claiming that this is the remnants of that temple when it's not even, and they're lying to us about this history. Okay? I mean, this has so much into it that it basically wipes out the claims of a lot of stuff, and nobody is bringing this information out there.
Yeah.
Crying tears at that wall. Taking tours and crying and getting in touch with their spirituality.
Man, they know that. Believe me, they know that. Don't think they don't know that.
And what gives people these Christians, brother, is that them Christians can't go over there and get a clean glass of water without them Jews spitting in it. And
I know.
The Christians said, the Jew was the greatest thing ever live over there, They did some fruit, right. Man.
Hey, y'all want to know a funny story? All right, there's this guy, right? Now, I'll, every time there's some people that do like this conspiracy stuff on the web, I always listen to it, right? And there's a guy by the name of Jesse Woodrow. And he was on that show Charmed. Mm-hmm. So he was on a show called Politics and Religion. And he was he left the show, and I was wondering, what happened to this guy? It was like a Christian broadcast, politics and religion, right? And then he started his own – he just started his own YouTube channel. You put up with Jesse Woodrow, and he was talking about the Federal Reserve and Obama. And he was going off. I was like, wow, this guy's actually really telling it, right? So I'm sitting here listening to him going off, and he was doing it for about 2 years. Then all of a sudden, he just disappeared, gone, off the air. I was like, well, what happened to him? Did he get spooked or what? You know, and then he took all his videos off of YouTube, just hid. And you wonder what happened to Jesse Woodrow. So I was like curious. So I'm doing research, and then he just fell off the map. So I said I didn't pay him no mind, right? So then recently somebody sent me a YouTube video, and I seen him in it. And I was like, well, whatever happened to this guy? So then I go look at his YouTube video. And then on his YouTube video, he's actually explaining about him doing an audition. And then he goes, you know, my grandmother talked to me. And I asked her, I said, Grandma, is our real name Williams? Because his name is Williams. I don't think it's Woodrow. And she looked at him and she goes, well, no, it's not really Williams. He goes, well, what is it? And she gave him this look. And he goes, what was that look for? And then she gave him a look and he said, it's Weisenmer or something like that, right? And he goes, I'm Jewish? So now, Jesse Woodrow, the Christian guy, is now believing that he's Jewish, okay? So now people are wondering what happened to him. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think what happened to this guy was he had this talk with his grandma. He realized that he was Jewish. So then he stopped doing his show because now he is a child of the Most High. Now, but get this. If you followed him, you understand the broadcast, why this is ironic or crazy, because now he went back into acting because he was an actor before. And then he started auditioning for these roles. And now all of a sudden he's getting all these roles. He's in a video with Beyonce and Jessica Alba and the lady from the Melvovic. And he's doing short films and he's in movies now because all of a sudden he is Jewish. But now all the stuff that he was fighting against with the banking system and the Federal Reserve and the aspartame, everything, he was just going off. Now he just wiped all that out, and he's cool with it now. What kind of message does that tell the world that if I'm of this descent, Jewish, I can't even speak about the problems in the world? But he was cool with it when he was supposed to be a Christian. I mean, it's crazy, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say, I mean, I just think all of that, man, it's all a bunch of, you know, a bunch of fluff, man. I mean, it's because every time, you know, when you look at anything like Christianity, with Judaism, I mean, look at what they do. People in the name of that stuff, look at the atrocities that they commit. I mean, just recently, I was looking at something. This guy is supposed to be this Christian such and such preacher or whatever. Supposed to be, you know, great guy. All of this got everybody backing him up. Turns out to be a pedophile, and you know, all this. I mean, story after story after story, the same stuff. You know, that's why I just truly think that there's, you know, so much wrong with that. Not to mention, It was meant to keep us in the blind. I mean, with our blinders on until this time.
Yep. And brother, one second before we have 1 minute and 19, 18, 17 seconds left. So what I want to do is I want to tell the people that are on the internet, thank you for so much for coming by. We're going to actually continue this discussion, and we'll be able to get this in the archives. Right now, we're going to continue it. I'm just going to play something on the way out, and then we're going to restart. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue. Okay, y'all?
Okay.
All right. Let me see what I can find. Okay. Here we go.
Now we shine your shoes like a looking glass. When that water hit them shoes, it roll right off. Shine. Now we shine that shoe like a looking glass, make a fly through that natural light shine. Now we get them shoes like a looking cloth. The water hit them, they're going to roll right off. Shine. Now we put them shoes right on the lid, man. Know them shoes going to shine, they're going to glit. Now we hit them shoes like a looking glass. Them shoes going to do the natural shine. Now we're going to hit them shoes like a looking glass. When that water hit them, they're going to roll out or shine.
Okay, y'all. I just wanted to I didn't want to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure we closed out that part of the show. Mm-hmm. Brother, you want to finish your point, brother?
No.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I was going to ask you, any of you guys ever listen to Alex Jones?
Yeah, man, I played his audio files tonight.
Oh, okay. I got on a little bit late. This is dark.
I'm sorry,
but, bro. No, it's okay.
Hey.
But what I was going to say was, Alex, he has a lot of good information, you know. But the thing about it is, Alex, being a white man, you know, I mean, I got nothing against him. But, see, a lot of, you know, what we have to realize is that America, really the world, everybody is programmed. Everybody is conditioned, okay?
Yep.
And then depending on who you are, you take that conditioning and use it differently, okay? As a white man, you know, with no, you know, whether you're in America and, you know, wherever you are,
okay,
they take it as it puts, you know, them being on top and more deserving than anyone of course, darker skin. And I'm saying all that to say this. Alex will be on there. He'll talk about being a Christian and all this other stuff. But, you know, it's so evident, whenever he talks, it's so evident that he is, you know, subconsciously racist, okay?
Yep.
And the reason I say that, I mean, yeah, you can hear it. I mean, he tries not to be, but, man, I heard him say one time something about, you know, all these black men just, you know, black crackheads, you know, raping people and all this other stuff. I'm like, look. See, and you know, when slaves were brought to the U.S., of course, and I don't know why I can't keep talking. I mean, I can't stop talking about this Christianity, but it just, to me, between Christianity and our government, man, that's our whole basis right there for the most part. That's every you know, all the important lies were all involved in that. And here we are, here black people are, talking about the same thing, trying to follow that same model, yet it was given to us as a way to control us.
Go get your phone.
It's called Say Goodbye to Uncle Tom, okay? And it explains, it's kind of a satire, but it really explains how black people were treated and the process that they used to indoctrinate. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
We got you.
So it was like the process of indoctrination for blacks as they came over. And see, one thing that they mentioned was that the people that, you know, the blacks that were brought here, they already had, they would make drawings and in their own language, you know, say things that referred to their God. Okay, it didn't have anything to do with Christianity, or you know, their concept, but it would refer to their God. So that's when they started to allow them, or basically force Christianity on them, because it took them, and you know, they realized that once you take the belief system of a people and also taking them out of their land and make, you know, in, putting them into surroundings that are completely unfamiliar to them, and then on top of that, treat them horribly, you completely control the person. So that last step was to take the belief system and change it up and give them a belief system that put them at a disadvantage in the first place. You know, I mean, because Christianity basically tells you that, hey, you know, the person that you worship is not, doesn't look like you, but we'll allow you to worship him anyway.
But so, Brother Derek.
Yeah.
And you know what you just described? The blueprint, brother, because I remember what I say on my broadcast, and actually I wanted to make a comment. I think it was Brother Dawid that was saying about, if he said those nice, kind words about me, I just want to say thank you so much, brother, and all praise to the Most High, my brother. But
you're my brother. You're my brother.
But what I, but with it, with the, it's called the blueprint, okay? Because like I said, once you got the religion, you got the nation. And when they took the religion of the Hebrews, they knew that that was it. It's like that movie Avatar. Remember Avatar?
Right.
And they were trying to blow up the they're trying to blow the up the tree, and they knew if they blew that tree up, those people would be done.
Right.
It's like they're telling us, you know?
I want to say something about that piece. I mean, in terms of the European man. I mean, that becomes the stumbling block for him to get this kingdom. Because he has so much to have to forgive, you know, ask for forgiveness to us. I mean, so many things that he has to, just really, you know, throw everything away. Throw all his pride away. I mean, because Satan is after him as well.
Yep.
You know, he was used to, you know, so he did have to get his hands dirty, so to speak, you know, to keep us down. And in the process, you know, he's being kept down and being deceived because he thinks he's somebody, you know, that he's not. So he has an even further way to go because really he has to come to us to know how this thing actually goes.
Exactly.
I got to bow down to him and say I'm sorry to him.
Well,
I
let
mean,
me throw this one.
Someone tell me how to get. I mean, the Most High loves him. Oh no, you know it's you know so.
Keep going. I just want to throw this in there. I want you to keep going. But look, listen. Remember, what is the key? Humility, right? They gotta be humble to accept it from us, and we gotta be humble to actually, you know, just to stop being fools. We gotta be humble to like. To understand that we rely through Christianity, we have to be humble and say, okay, brother, let me listen to what you're trying to tell me. And if we just listen to what us, you know, brothers here are trying to tell you, that look, I'm sorry, but Christianity was a lie. This is why. And then we can get the message and be like, oh, so we are more than what we thought we were. Then the European has to be humble to listen to what we have to say because you ain't who you think you are.
Yeah, right.
So keep on going, brother. I'm sorry. Just wanted to throw that in there.
No, that was basically it. You,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. You guys ever, if you ever go onto some of these blogs, like the other day I was on, Prison Planet, and there was, you know, there was a video or something on there, and this guy, this apparently a white dude, was on there talking about, you know, excuse my language, but he said, you know, I don't know why. We don't just pack all these shit skins up and send them back to Africa. they haven't contributed anything to the world and all that. I was trying not to, but I had to respond to this guy. You know, this is the thing. You know, the thing is, they don't even know who they are. They don't know. They are the only thing they work off of is what they are told. That's it. They have no original thought. You know, because think about all the inventions, all the work, everything that we have done in this country, man. It is amazing. Dude, I'm gonna tell you, the most brilliant person I've ever met in my life, and this man didn't even fully graduate from school. He had to get his GED, but he was always a straight-A student. Was my dad, man. My father is a brilliant man.
Wow.
That dude, he's a welder, right? He can make anything. Okay, anything. I've worked with him. The brother is, he was 60 years old in 2007. I was out helping him do a welding job. Now, look, let me tell you something. Because I know I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not half the man my father is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a weak individual by any means. But, you know, my father is 6'4". The man, 60 years old, man, out in the summer of 2007, which, I mean, it was hot like this, 100-something degrees. And, I mean, in the sun, doing as much at or more than me. At 60, and I was 36, okay? 36. So, I mean, it just amazes me. And then on top of that, he taught me how to work on cars. He taught me how to, you know, work on anything electrical. I mean, he taught me carpentry. He taught me a lot of stuff. And see, the only problem with it was that all his life, right now, he's going through problems right now with you know, because I think every black man has the same issue, this one specific issue, and that is a paranoia, okay? Every one of us has it. Because, seriously, because you cannot, the thing is, man, every day you go out in the world, you don't know who to trust.
I'm laughing because I fool you 100%, brother.
I mean, seriously, because, you know what, the thing is, I always see this. Every time I go somewhere, I go to a restaurant or something like that, I'm in the back of my head is, how is this person going to act towards me? Am I going to get good service? It's not, you know, seriously, I mean, or if I go into the store.
I mean, these are things that go through our mind all the time. It's like we just take it for granted. Like, okay, this is just how it is. But that's what we got to deal with.
Hey, man, I want to be played up. I'm thinking to myself, what's that guy thinking? I know he races. I know y'all.
But and that has a psychological effect on you, man. It's stress, brother. It's stress. That is stress every day.
Every day, brother.
I don't want to take all the time.
Is that part of the curses, bro?
Got the floor, brother.
That part of the curses.
Shoot, let's live here.
Oh, wow. To laugh about it, man.
But you know what, though? You know what? This is the thing. And it's funny that because when I first found, you know, the weed and, you know, all this whole thing, I sent him a message, and I mentioned something about 2019, okay? And the thing is, really, I felt so elated that the response that I got from this brother was that I know what you're talking about. I've done some research on that myself, and, you know, and just confirmation, man. And really, it just showed me that I'm not crazy, you know.
Right.
Because,
you ain't alone, brother.
That goes a long way, doesn't it?
Oh, man. When you don't feel like you're an island, when you feel like, you know, you don't, you know, I mean, it just really confirms and makes you feel good. It makes you, I mean, basically, it makes you know that you're not crazy.
And you know what?
I mean, look at how we relate,
man.
Well, it's
men talking to men, so maybe you can relate.
Hello? Who's that?
I'm trying to get.
You were talking about marriage one time, just now.
Oh, I didn't hear.
We can hear your conversation.
D, which line is that?
He was married 20 years. His wife doing this.
Okay.
And they're up there laughing. Nobody talking about prayer. But, you know,
listen to
that.
Yeah, well,
bad old
they don't
guy.
Get what the brat to the program. I'm coming home.
Did we get it? All right, had to mute it. Somebody got muted.
Okay.
All right, we got it. I think that was
203.
I think that was 203, yeah. Okay. Man, that was a good conversation. Hey, brother, you know what? That 2019, You know, I'm so happy you brought that up, man, because what people have to, you know, that 400-year, 400 years, enslavement 400 years,
yeah.
And the United States was like 1619, right?
Right.
18, 19, 20. So 2019, we got this 400 years, and now all of this stuff is happening right now. And also the 70 year, they got this 70 year, actually a jubilee is 50 year, but he got this 70 year jubilee that the Jews are going to celebrate on 2018. And it seems like they're getting ready for something, brother. They are getting ready for something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And see, and then again, look at this too. Look at 2012.
Yes.
Because there's been so much significance put on 2012. But see, if you also remember about the peace, that 7-year peace.
Yes.
So, okay, look at it like this. 2000. This is just my prediction. What I'm thinking, just from the information that I've gathered.
Go ahead, bro.
You know, we're going to see between now and say the mid to late 2012, we're going to see a lot of stuff happen.
Yeah,
That latter part of 2012 is when I truly believe this type of Christian or Christ figure is going to stand up or come out or be revealed in some way, in whatever capacity that is in. We'll talk about that in a minute. But because you know, when you remember, you look at the, you know, about the beast and all that other stuff, that starts, because you don't count 2012, you count, you know, 2013. So it's 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. That's 7 years.
7 years,
okay?
Exactly. Yep.
So it has, and then that tribulation, that point when everything breaks loose, is 3.5 years from the beginning of the of that peace, when it first comes into effect. Okay, so something is going to happen. Something on a major scale is going to happen next year that causes people to follow something that is definitely not right.
And they're talking about UFOs,
right?
No, go ahead,
and that's
bro.
The thing. Exactly. See. That's what I've done a lot of research on that. In fact, I was watching the History Channel just yesterday, and they were talking about all these pilots and all this other, I mean, all these people that have come forth with, I mean, some excellent proof of what they saw. You know, I mean, from radar hits to pictures and all that other stuff, right? There is, I mean, it doesn't just happen for no reason. It's there for a reason. I mean, this is happening for a reason.
And brother
in
Derek,
fact, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish. I want to finish your point. Sometimes something comes to my head and I want to say something, but I don't want to cut you off. So keep going, brother.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say Go ahead. I'll get it in a second.
Okay.
I got a point to make on one of your points too. So remind me, because it's interesting too.
I think we should write this down.
I think
I'm getting early Alzheimer's. but as for those UFOs, you know what? they are setting us up for something, because they keep revealing it. And I believe that this is going to be that Antichrist thing coming to fool everybody. Because think about it now. We're going through all this turmoil, all these problems, all this hell. The banking system's going to crash, and they have to figure out a way to bring in this new system. Okay?
Right.
They
got
to chill everybody, because people right now are like, oh, hey, come on now. We know y'all did it. So there needs to be something so phenomenal that people are going to forget about them and pay attention to this Antichrist, brother. Now, I talk about this a lot, but I'm going to say it again, the 25,920-year cycle. I talk about that because this is their cycle, like I always say. Their cycle started a new cycle. Okay, now this is crazy, in 2001. That's when the 25,920 years ended. So therefore, this is 12 years into their new cycle. All right? And now 12 years is another, it's like a milestone. 12 years is another milestone because they actually have 72-year cycles within a cycle. I mean, it sounds a little bit crazy. They have 72, they have a 12-year, they're 12 years into the new, their cycle, right? And this is at the end of a milestone, but they have it actually 72 years, okay? But 6 times 12 is 72, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, therefore, they have 6 of them. That's why they have that 666 and 9. See, because this is what I'm trying to relay to people. And please hold on to that point, brother. Don't forget that point. I don't want to go too far off topic. But what I want to relay to people is that the people that are in charge, okay, they actually have they go by these charts in time. And it should be evident by the fact that somehow since 1913 they were able to steal, you know, $600 trillion or something like that, $60 trillion or whatever, and put us in debt and now actually take over the world. Now, in order for them to do this, that means that it has to be generation upon generation following some kind of roadmap that allow them to do this. So therefore, mm-hmm. they're following a cycle, and that 25,000-year cycle that they follow is being followed to the T. That's why 2019 is so important, and this 7-year tribulation is so important, and why we have to pay attention to 2012, because that right there is going to mark the end of something that they are doing to get us ready for something else. All right, I just wanted to say
right.
that.
No, right.
I was going to say on the brother's point in terms of UFOs and even what you were saying. You know, I watch a lot of old movies and, you know, like just saying old, you know, horror movies and what have you. The whole thing has changed. I mean, you're talking 20s, 30s and stuff like that. I mean, if you're watching a horror movie, you know this is a monster. But you fast forward to now. And you watch a vampire movie, and you watch a, you know, werewolf movie. Now you have sympathetic characters. Maybe this is something, you know, I would want to tamper in, or something I want to, you know, be involved in, you know. It's becoming palatable. So the personal tastes are changing to the point that when this thing is presented, when you see these things, UFOs and these things, it's not that bad. You know, it's something, you know, what we would normally reject, you know, just off the top, you know, but now it's like, well, maybe, you know, it's not too bad to be a vampire, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So yeah, they want to be vampires.
We're being prepared for these things.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and also, well, I was going to say one thing. Also, they, NASA just said that, you know, E.T. might come and get us for not treating our planet correctly.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, and then they tried to retract it, but, you know, hey.
But you know something? I think one of the plans or one of the deceptions that they're going to do is, you know how we're finding all this stuff out ahead of time? About the Hebrews, about the J, about the like just now I discovered about the Wailing Wall not being the actual real temple.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
all of this,
right.
all of these things that we're finding out, we're kind of like stealing their thunder. You know, because
right.
when they start going over all of the things about, you know, there's speculations about the virgin birth, there's speculations about the Wailing Wall. Then we have, oh, these aren't even the Hebrews. The Hebrews are actually black. You know, that's going to be a shocker to all the people. They'll be like, oh, they black? Well, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? That everybody's going to fall off then. And then, like, the whole Christianity is going to fall off. And, you know what I'm saying? They're going to reveal all these things. And then they're going to say, you see, it was all a lie. This is the true Messiah.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go gravitate towards whatever can replace their system. Because, remember, they're under brainwash. What happens when you take a brainwashed person and you strip that one thing that he believed in all his life? He's empty, right?
They're struggling to find something else right away.
Right away. They need to fill that void. So what's going to be that void?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Man, we're coming into something quick. It's showing it to, I mean, man, every week it seems like a day.
No, man.
Yes. I mean, what you used to take, I mean, stuff that you find out now in a week,
yeah.
time, man, it used to take years.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's scary. It's scary. I had a friend that went to, he went to London in June. And he was like, yeah, I've been here for 3 months. I was like, 3 months? I was shocked. I thought he just left, like, last week. It was 3 months. Time is flying. Dang.
Yeah.
Like I said, I always like to go back to that movie, The Matrix. You know how, you know, I can learn Kung Fu just like this. You know, just plug in. You know, it's like, that's how, you know, fast the Most High can give us this information. I mean, you just get up to speed very quickly.
Very quick, my brother. I mean, man. The stuff, I'm going to tell y'all something. When I was younger, I never read nothing. All I read was comic books because I liked all the pictures and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too.
Right. And I wouldn't pick up a book to save my life. I mean, I remember the one book I read was like Black Beauty, and I was 11 years old, and I think I just read the first few paragraphs, and everybody would ask, what's your favorite book? Black Beauty. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to say something. I never read nothing. But then when I got older, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my 30s and stuff, then I started to really read. I ain't stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'm dumb or nothing. But I had no need for it because, you know, I just wasn't interested. But then when I started to read about the word, yo, I'm like breaking down Hebrew. I'm looking into like old stuff like Greek mythology. I mean, stuff that would have bored the heck out of me. I could sit down and read that stuff for hours and not get tired because now I'm actually seeing things that the Most High is like revealing to me. Now, I know that ain't nothing but the fear of the Most High right there.
Oh, yeah.
So you read comic books so you can appreciate Thor, then, right?
Thor? You say Thor? Which one?
The movie Thor. I mean, the character.
Oh, man.
Nephilim.
Man, I saw
all that. Nephilim, man. You know?
Yeah, he is a Nephilim, brother. And it's funny because all that stuff coming, all that stuff is like, I'm looking at the comic. And isn't that funny, though, how these comic books now are getting real popular? I mean, what the heck's going on, man?
Yeah,
it's like
mythology here.
Yeah. Is Zeus and Thor and is Superman.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now, you know what? I'm gonna ask you this question right here because this is something that I keep going back and forth on. All right. Now, I keep wondering if this is all related to possibly a level of technology beyond the point that we can really understand that would seem like magic, because when you bring up Thor and all that stuff, the way they're presenting it is that, you know, it seems like magic to us. It's just a higher level of technology. Okay?
Talk about it, brother.
This is the thing that was going, you know, because, you know, of course, growing up Christian, this is one of my last things that I got to work out. All right, I was looking at something on YouTube. I was on Above Top Secret, and they were talking about something that skipped off the sun, okay? So I watched the video, and you see this light, like a streak, come across. It hits the very top of the sun, and it skips off and speeds off, right? So I sat down, and I really analyzed it. So I played it really slow, and you can see the thing. It just appears, right? And then it seems like it slowed down, hit the sun, and after it hit the sun, it kind of went on a trajectory that basically at an angle up away from the sun and like disappeared again real quick. So the thing was moving at least when it became visible, it was moving at least a million miles per second.
Yeah, it was flying, brother. I saw that.
Right.
It was flying.
Right. Because the width of the sun is like almost a million miles. That's the diameter of the sun. It came in and was out in less than a second as far as when it was visible.
And as small as it looked,
you know how big that thing actually was.
Exactly, exactly. It had to be at least twice the size of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I start wondering, and you think about the scriptures. It says that when Yahushua returns, he's coming with great power and great glory. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I was always made to believe that when he returns, it's going to be a bunch of people in the sky coming down. But see, you know, that just didn't work out for me. I'm like, first of all, you can barely see a plane at 35,000 feet. Okay. And it just doesn't look scary. A plane holds how many people? I mean, 300, 400, up to 300 or more people, right? Well, how are you going to see a person? You know what I mean? It's just not going to. And then on top of that, it says that every eye will see him. Basically, it's saying it's coming out of the east and every eye is going to see him. So in that case, why is it coming out of the east and why will everybody see him? Well, if the sun rises in the east, that's in the west. Because of the Earth's rotation, everybody's going to see him. All right? So when it says great power and great glory and people are going to be afraid, I mean, we're not talking about something small. We're talking about something great, something that is beyond imagination.
Never seen
so,
before.
Exactly. So, I mean, I was feeling almost wrong for believing it was something to do with the level of technology that we definitely don't understand, but I feel that. That's what I mean. Every time I read the scriptures, that's just what comes out at me. Because, and then on top of that, when you look at everything that's going on, you know, it's hard. And then look up Earth-sized objects around the sun. The SOHO satellite recorded multiple, objects 10 times larger than the sun, than the Earth. Around the sun, just sitting there. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know. Anybody.
Hey, you know that verse that you talked about the,
uh-huh.
the brighter than the sun, how bright, and you can see it from the east? Does anybody know
right.
where that's from? Where that comes from?
Come on.
That's in
scripture.
Yeah, Matthew,
in scripture. Yeah, that is Matthew.
Isn't that in,
is it 24?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Matthew 24?
Yeah, it is Matthew 24. Exactly.
Yeah,
because I want to read that because that's I read that today because I was doing some studies on stuff, and I think that's important. It's good you brought that out because this is people need to hear this because which one is it? It's
you can start at 24:29.
Okay, 24:29. Let me read that. It says. Okay, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of the Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And let me see. I just
and up at 27, it says, for the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth
yeah.
even unto the west. So
yeah,
shall
yeah.
also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Yeah, that's what
exactly.
I was looking for. Oh wait,
yeah,
wait, wait, wait,
exactly.
wait, listen to this, listen to this. This is here's something I want to when you read that, right? It goes,
mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold he is in the desert, go not forth, behold he is in the secret chambers, believe it not, right? Like
mm-hmm.
you said, for as the light cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then it says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. It's basically like saying that it's obvious where the eagles are going to be at because that's where the carcass is, right?
And right.
When they talk about this light, they're basically saying everybody's going to know that it's going to be bright.
Right.
So ain't no, exactly. It ain't no technology.
He's talking to the disciples, so they, you know, and then we will know. I mean, he's talking to them, but we will know because the delusion is going to be so strong here that it's going to be people here, a man here that's going to show signs and wonders, and you know, that's the Messiah, that's him,
yep.
You know. But
yep.
When he comes, everybody's going to know.
Everybody's going to know,
right.
Brother.
Right.
So. So when
that's
we see
right.
This little fake Messiah coming, we gonna know instantly that ain't him.
That ain't it, exactly. Because you know the
I give you another one, Darwin.
Yeah, yeah.
You can read Revelations 1 and 7 too.
Okay, let me get that. Revelations 1 and 7. And behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I am Alpha.
Another, they got another description. Another description of him coming back is Acts, the first chapter.
Yeah.
9th through the 11th verse, too.
But something there, I've seen that before, but I never heard it like that before, because what it's saying here, those that pissed him, so they're saying that even the dead,
I know, right?
Comes back.
That's
yeah. And in heaven, in heaven and in earth. I mean, it's
even
going
in the grave.
Yep.
Wow.
Tell me, man.
So it won't be a secret.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Just think about this. You know, when it says that the sun shall not give it light or something like that, that's the reason why. Because think about the moon at night. The moon is bright, pretty bright at night, right?
Yep.
When it's a full moon. But in the daytime, when the sun is out and you have the moon out when the sun is out, you barely even notice the moon, right?
Yep. So it's gonna be brighter than the sun.
It's going to be so bright that the sun will look like the moon does in the daytime.
it's going to be so bright that heaven and earth are going to melt away.
Man, I mean.
Even the dead are going to see it.
That's right, man. I mean,
that goes along with the description of Revelation. That will be no more need for the sun. The Most
That's right.
High, the light from the Most High, you know, will light up, you know, the King.
That's right.
I'm gonna read a couple more scriptures for you, Dawid. Just this one, Revelation six, and let's see, the 12th verse. And I beheld when he had opened Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Wow.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath will come, and who shall be able to stand? It won't be a secret. It won't be a secret.
It won't
no.
Be, nope.
And then once again, we see that it's gonna be pitch black, and that's the only light we're gonna see coming.
Yep, that's it, man. I mean, just imagine. I mean, imagine that. Imagine just the I was thinking big and grand, but man, I mean, that's I can't even imagine now. The scale. I mean, wow, man, that's something.
I mean, hey, brighter than the sun? I can't even imagine brighter than the sun, because I ain't seen nothing brighter than the sun.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the sun, you know, right now, the sun's out over here in Texas, and it's bright and hot.
Right.
And, I mean, just, wow, man, that's something, man.
I mean, hey, I can only look at the sun for a few seconds.
That's it. Then you have to turn away. I can't take it.
It's live.
Wow.
I was going to say this. Okay, you know, at the end is when it talks about the New Jerusalem coming out of the sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it gives all the size, you know, the width, the breadth, and the height of it. I used to always think that it was a cube, right? For some reason, because when you look up the actual size of it, it gives in cubit, I think it is.
Yes.
But the actual size of it is 1,500 miles on each length.
That's right.
The width, the breadth, the height, all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what didn't occur to me until later was that it could be a pyramid.
Yeah, that's what that brother attests to. I'm trying to remember that brother's name.
He has
a book about. I'm looking at my books now. No, he says that in terms of the pyramid, actually. I mean, it being a pyramid shape.
Right.
Say that again. I missed that about the pyramid.
Well, yeah, I was saying that, you know, when it gives the dimensions of the city, of the New Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is a pyramid.
Yeah. And see, that's when you think about it, look at the Egyptians and what they did. Because, see, one thing, that we all know is, you know, Satan always comes up with something because he knows that it works, right? But he always tries to mimic the Most High.
Yeah,
and the shape of a pyramid has power. There's a reason why. I mean, everything that the Most High does, there's a reason behind it. So the shape of a pyramid has extreme significance.
Yeah, unless they wouldn't have imitated it.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all know about those big old rocks in Baalbek. I think that's the place.
Yeah, that's
in Lebanon. Is,
mm-hmm.
is it Baalbek?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen them? Has anybody really thought about that? These things are what? 400 tons or something? How many tons is it, Brother D? Do you remember?
No, I didn't, man. But I saw. I was looking at a picture again last night. And did you see how precision the angles were?
Cut straight. And them things, people are like, they got armies of people just up on those pyramids, man.
Where
right.
is that?
That's Baalbek.
And then, I've seen some more. They'll show where they were getting ready to cut some stones out, and they stopped. But there's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? The bottom wasn't cut out, but the sides were cut.
Yeah, they cut around it.
It's cut around, yeah. And I'm supposed to believe, you know, some little 150-pound men were doing this stuff, right?
Yeah, that book
it makes me think.
But, brother, you know what? Remember I was talking earlier about the Wailing Wall?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the wall that was left over from the Temple of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, when you read into it and you do more research on that, they have the exact same dimensions in Lebanon. So there was a temple in Jupiter that was exactly the same as the one they built in Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? So what this means is that you got this being, this spirit being, that decided to make himself king. Because what did he do? He built a whole city in Israel, you know, present-day Israel, Jerusalem, and dedicated it to himself and built a temple of Jupiter in the same place as
the temple.
He built Yeah, he built the Temple of Jupiter in the same place as Jerusalem, right? And it was the same dimensions. So, but we what to look at is who is Jupiter. And then we have to look at those big old stones in Baalbek, because that's where the temple was. So there's some connection here, man.
Yep.
Huge connection.
Oh, yeah. There, you know, because the thing is, you got to look at this. Look at us where we are now. We're so blind to everything, man. All the secrets and the knowledge that they had back in those days, man. I mean, they were definitely a lot smarter than us.
Yep.
but we're told constantly that we've evolved. You know, nah.
Yeah, please, no. We're just they were tools like us, but they were better tools than we were, than we are.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we can't even all of our cranes. They said our cranes can't even lift those stones that they built.
Exactly. And that is always funny to be asked,
brother. I was going to say that book that I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's the Nephilim and the Pyramid of Apocalypse. That's Patrick Harris. And he was the one that was saying that, you know, that the temple. You know, it comes out of the sky. The kingdom that comes out of the sky was actually, you know, built in pyramid shape. And he talks about, you know, the Nephilim and what have you in that book.
Man, I think I got that book, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a couple of YouTube videos. He talks about the Nephilim, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, Patrick Heron.
Yeah,
I got it. Yeah. It's called The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse.
Right.
I didn't have a chance to read that one.
It's interesting. I mean, he has some errors, but, you know, he has a lot of information in there as well, though.
Wow. Yeah. You know what I wish that, you know something? When I was going to church, right, I would always sit there and I would kind of like, I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't really enjoy it like the people around me because they were always jumping and hollering and jumping on the floor and, you know, it's Pentecostal and stuff. So I wasn't feeling it. So I saw something, man. I'm like, dang on, these people are feeling this and something must be wrong because I ain't feeling it. What's going on, you know? So, and like, I was like being dragged to different churches and stuff and there's something missing. But I'm going to tell you what, if now I were to go, and the brothers that I'm talking to lately and sisters online here, I would have such a good time, man. I would have such a good time. Because right now, this is what we need. We need to be speaking about this in an environment, all of us together, seeing each other's faces, going over research, and really praising the Most High. I mean, that's where we need to be at. And it's sad that we all can't be there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sad.
But he's preparing us for, he's preparing us. I mean, we're not getting all this. It's like we, you know, going to the gym, you know, working out. I mean, it's like, you know, he's preparing us for something, man.
Just
for us, you know, it's we're being prepared, man.
Yeah.
Being prepared for something.
Yep.
And they
definitely are listening, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering.
And there's nothing they can do about it. You know, really. There's nothing they can do about it. They, you know, because if they could, you know, they would have. But that's the thing. The Most High is preparing us for whatever he has his plans for. And then, like I said, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
I heard that.
We are definitely. Oh, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
No, is Brother Jamel, are you still there? Brother Jamel must have stepped away.
Hold on one second, let me see.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
You've been quiet a while. We got like 9 minutes, y'all, and I think we should pick out some scriptures to read, close in a prayer to make sure, you know what I'm saying? So we all blessed, have a blessed week. because I don't know what's going to come this next week, y'all. I'm feeling a little bit like,
it's going to be crazy,
I think. I think it's going to be crazy. Does anybody
have...
Okay.
I was going to say one thing. you know, being that this is the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
I you know, looked at a couple things. A couple people were talking about possibly something happening on the 9th or on, you know, on the 11th because of the you know, because of these Luciferians, they follow this numerology. Anybody else heard anything about that?
Yes, that was Alexander Backman and Bill Deagle was talking about.
Yeah, this is the yeah.
Yes, that's, you know,
yeah,
when you tune in there, that's what you heard, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about when I talk about those numbers and stuff, the whole numerology stuff. This is what they're following, man. This is like it's coming upon their thing. This is what they do, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to really pay attention because these people are crazy and they're in control. Luciferian is in control right now.
Yeah. And I feel, man, you know, I feel like it's gonna come down to some very harsh realities for everybody. I mean, you know, I'm trying to get myself prepared, and I'll probably be going back to either Zimbabwe or, you know, South Africa sometime here in the next couple months. But yeah, man, it's you know, we're really gonna have to get ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should have been ready, brother.
Yeah, we should have.
Yeah. It's beyond getting ready now. Now it's like Jamel said, he went into the store to get some batteries, and them things were cleaned out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's coming where things are going to be cleaned out. We ain't going to be, ain't no getting ready. He said, we should have been ready.
Right. Yep.
Man, I'm going to,
another thing, brother. See, another thing real shortly. See, when the dollar collapsed, the ships ain't going to be docking in our deep water docks, you know, because ain't nobody going to have no money.
I know. They ain't going to need to come. There ain't going to be no need to come.
You know.
I just saw on the news unprecedented amount of people leaving out of New York City. And, you know, they're hyping this thing up in New York City. And I'm thinking that this thing is going to do the damage they're saying they're going to do. I mean, as far as us being in debt and having a hard time, it's going to be even worse. And then not to mention that our credit rating is supposed to drop again in a few months anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, it's going to get rough here. It's going to get rough. Very rough.
Yep.
Hey, let me
how are we gonna pay for these damages now? You know what I mean? I mean, not saying that it shouldn't be done, but I mean, look at our financial status right now.
Right, and you know, if you look at the timing of all of this, the timing of the earthquake, the storm, right? You know, just as we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, I mean, man, it's, you know. I guess we'll know next week or the week after.
Yeah. It's all, you know, they have something in plan. You know, they got 10 years, 9/11, 2012. I mean, come on, y'all. And we got Libyan war.
Right.
They're trying to seal it. They're probably going to attack Syria soon because they're beating that drum war now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They already told Assad he needs to leave. So.
Yeah, and they're just getting everybody ready, telling everybody, look, we're going to attack Syria now, okay? All
right,
let me
I just
want
to say to everybody,
quick.
Thanks for coming out, because we got to wrap it up, because they're about to cut us off. So go ahead, Dawit.
All right, I'm going to read, thank you, brother. I'm going to read the verse that I always read, 7:14, but I'm going to actually start 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I'm going to start a little bit further, and it's appropriate now, because it's about the temple. And it says, Chronicles 7:11. It says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Most High, Yahuwah, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of Yahuwah, and his own he prosperously affected. Then it says, and Yahuwah appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to be for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Okay? And when you actually go through that, the Second Chronicles, and listen to what's saying, that a fuller picture comes to being. Go ahead, sister. Does somebody want to say something? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to read one script.
Okay.
Let's see, I'm going to read Isaiah 54:17. And it reads, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against us in judgment, you shall prove wrong. This is the inheritance of the servants of Yahuwah, and their righteousness from me, declares Yahuwah.
Hallelujah. Okay, y'all.
Man, that's been proven to me too many times. Go ahead.
I'm going to close in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you so, so much for bringing this brothers and sisters together. We ask that you continue to bless us, oh Father. And we once again, we pray for Sister Deborah. We pray that she can fight this cancer, oh Father. And we ask that you just give her the knowledge that she needs. And we will pray for her all week, oh Father. Be with her, oh Father. And we thank you for another meeting. And we ask that you continue to bless us this week. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua's precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 All right, brothers. Nice talking to y'all. I'm going to see y'all next week. Okay, and I'm going to see what we got to play here on the way up. Liberation poem. Oh, that's pretty sure.
Brothers, be encouraged.
Yes.
Okay, actually, here's a good one. All right, bro. Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he has allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory